And to accompany the broadcast, there's a citizen survival card available in reception now.
You're tuned to BBC Radio Nottingham. We now turn our attention to football, and here with Wembley Scoreline Special is Andy Knowles.
Hello and a warm welcome to Wembley Stadium. Yes, after 82 years as a league club, Mansfield Town and their supporters have finally arrived at those famous Twin Towers. It's the final of the Freight Rover Trophy, with Bristol City, the holders, standing in the way of the Stags and success. City are the favourites, but as Coventry City proved here just 8 days ago, this is the year of the underdog. The Mansfield lads are geared up for victory. Hello from me, Andy Knowles. I'm just part of Radio Nottingham's team here at Wembley. Sharing the match commentary will be Jeremy Nicholas. And I'm delighted to welcome along as our match summariser, the former Northern Ireland captain, and of course Forest and County midfielder Martin O'Neill. And naturally, we couldn't let such an auspicious occasion pass us by without hearing from the voice of Mansfield Town for over 900 matches. And that, of course, is Stan Searle. We're perched up high in the commentary box, down there on the pitch at this moment, talking to the players as the Mansfield players have had a look round on the pitch. Is Steve James.
With Mark Kearney. And Mark, it's a tremendous feeling to come out here. All these fans, it's superb, isn't it?
Yeah, fabulous. Even though it's so early, there's still a lot of fans in and they're making a hell of a noise, so it's superb. We just had the dogs on and they've got them chanting. One dog was Mansfield, one dog was Bristol, so God knows what happens when the game starts.
And of course, earlier in the rounds, you took that crucial penalty up at Middlesbrough. Will that fall to you this afternoon as well, if we have a penalty?
Yes. I don't mind. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll get one and if we have the same result, that'd be fabulous.
A bit daunting, but I'm sure you'll cope with it. Also with me, Paul Garner. Paul, you must have thought you weren't going to play in this match.
Yeah, that's right. It's a little bit of a bonus. I didn't think we were going to make it. Fortunately, it's worked out for me. Hopefully I can do justice and we can get a win today.
And there's no problem at all with your injury now, it's clear?
No, none whatsoever. None
great.
Whatsoever.
All the best. Also with me, Keith Cassells. You've been here before, Keith. What's it like the second time round?
Just as good. You know, it'll always be a marvellous occasion, a Wembley final, and I'm just very honoured to, you know, be looking forward to my second time round.
And are you making more of it the second time round? Is it perhaps a little bit easier to walk out on that pitch, perhaps not quite so nerve-tingling?
I think so. Although it'll always grab you a certain somewhere, it's, you know what to expect a little bit the second time round, and I'm quite prepared for it, hopefully.
And you're just hoping for a slightly better result at the end of the day?
Yes, I just want to win now. Everything else has been perfect, so let's get on with the business and get the game going.
And so many Mansfield fans here today, that must be great.
Yeah, well, the drive-in was absolutely unbelievable. They were all on top of a bridge that we had to go under. It was a spectacle in itself. It was great.
Lovely, thanks. Great, Keith. And we've also got Kevin Hitchcock here. You came down to London a day earlier than the rest.
Yeah, well, I had a wedding night. My best mate got married and I was best man. Day went well, apart from the weather. But I just hope today is as good as yesterday.
I think you were rather not looking forward to the best man's speech. You'd rather be out here playing in front of the post.
Yeah, I was a bit nervous. I had the mic in front of me, speaking in front of people, and I don't like doing that, but it went okay. Short and sweet.
And you've got an awful lot of your family, because you're from this area, aren't you?
Yeah, well, from East London, and I brought two coaches down, so just have a look for them now.
They'll all be cheering for today. Out on that pitch, just exactly what is it like out on that grass?
Unbelievable. It's superb. Can't explain how good it is. It's unbelievable.
And those goalposts, are they the same size? Do they look bigger from down there? Certainly look bigger to me.
They do look bigger to me, but I'm sure they're the same.
I'm sure you'll cope very well with it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin Hitchcock. That's the Mansfield players. They're all gone back down that tunnel now, down to the dressing rooms. And in just about an hour's time, they will be back out on that pitch in their yellow shirts, playing their heart out for everybody from Nottinghamshire.
Steve James reporting from just below the tunnel. I can see away to our left as we have our marvellous vantage point high up here in the stand just above the Royal Box. There's action going on below us at this very moment. It's a match between the TVAM Select 11 and a Question of Sport team. That's just an aperitif for the big match, which, as Steve says, kicks off at 3 o'clock. Well, the stands here at Wembley have been filling up since 1 o'clock. We're expecting a total full house today, but some 50,000 fans are anticipated, and about 20,000 thousand of those travelling down the motorway from Nottinghamshire. Really was a great sight this morning to see all those yellow and blue scarves hanging out of the cars and buses as we travelled down the M1. Between now and the kick-off at 3 o'clock, we'll be hearing from some of the players, some more of the players. We'll be letting George Foster introduce his team personally, and coming up very soon, a light-hearted quiz between members of the two sides. But as I said, we've got two very auspicious guests alongside. On my left-hand side, Martin O'Neill. On my right-hand side, Stan Searle. If Martin I can bring in first. Martin, you know what it's like to play here at Wembley, both in cup finals and international matches. The tremendous thrill that those Mansfield players and the Bristol players must have got as they came out to that reception then.
Yeah, they'll get exactly the same thrill as Coventry and Tottenham got 8 days ago. And they might call it a Freight Rover Trophy final, but it makes no difference to them. It's an FA Cup final as far as they're concerned. Big chance to play at Wembley. I mean, it's a dream. The pitch looks absolutely superb, and I just hope that they can enjoy it as much as I did the couple of occasions I played.
Well, of course, we went down and had a look at the pitch a little earlier on. Were you surprised at how good a nick the pitch was in after it's had a pretty heavy week, hasn't it?
It has, yes. And strange enough, I was just remarking that I think the pitch is as good a shape now as it has been for some time. I've noticed a little bit of patches here and there where they've dug it up and re-turfed it, as it were. But today it looks absolutely immaculate.
Thanks very much, Martin. We'll be hearing from Martin throughout the action this afternoon. We'll also be talking to the man sitting alongside me here, and that, of course, Stan Searle. Stan, who's been covering Mansfield Town for Radio Nottingham over 900 matches. But I should think, Stan, that this is the emotional one, the one that you've really been looking forward to.
Yes, indeed, Andy, and I think all Mansfield Town fans have been looking forward to such an occasion. I always remember many, many years ago saying, well, we'll paint the car blue and yellow if Mansfield ever get to Wembley. We never thought they would, but they're here this afternoon, and there are thousands of Mansfield fans at Wembley, of course. A little outnumbered by Bristol fans, but I don't think they'll be outvoiced when the real chips are down in the 90 minutes. But certainly an occasion to savour. I've been to Wembley several times. I've been very fortunate to come to several FA Cup finals. But coming to support your own team, well, that's a different situation. But anyway, fingers crossed for Mansfield. They've come the hard way. Let's hope that the good fortune continues this afternoon and we bring the trophy back to Mansfield tomorrow.
So Stan Searle, an emotional occasion for him, I'm sure, and we'll be hearing more from Stan in a while. But we're going to leave the Wembley atmosphere for a while, because earlier this week, in conjunction with our colleagues at BBC Radio Bristol, we got together several members of each team to clash in a sporting quiz to serve as something of an aperitif to this afternoon's rather more serious action. So settle back now and enjoy a rather unique sporting quiz. Hello and welcome to the Battle of the Wembley Finalists, a light-hearted quiz, we hope so anyway, between four members of the Mansfield Club and a quartet from Bristol City. My name's Andy Knowles and I'll be setting the questions to our Stags panel here in the Radio Nottingham studios, while deep down there in the Radio Bristol studios, Nigel Turner's popping the questions to the City lads.
Yes, we're already here in Bristol to take on the Mansfield Town team. Just a reminder to you, Andy, before we get underway, that we are the holders of the Freight Rover Trophy, so you won't find things too easy on this programme.
Well, we'll see about that in about half an hour's time. Eight rounds coming up in the next half hour, and I'm sure a whole lot of fun also. Let me immediately introduce the Mansfield Town team, well supported by members of the Stags Supporters Club. Leading the side will be the man that all Mansfield fans will be hoping to see lift that Freight Rover trophy, that pillar of the defence, Skipper George Foster. Alongside him, the man who's the last line of defence, a man who's never short of a word of advice to teammates and opposition alike, in the nicest sense, goalkeeper Kevin Hitchcock. The third member of the Stags quiz team is that striker with the famous historical name, but now better known as a goal scorer than as a politician, Neville Chamberlain. And completing our Stags lineup, Radio Nottingham's voice of Mansfield Town for over 900 matches, and the man on whom the Stags are pinning all their hopes today, match reporter Stan Searle.
Well, down here in the West Country, let's introduce the Bristol City team for you. We've got Bristol City Supporters Club with us here tonight. Let's introduce the Bristol City team for you. Skipper for today is David Moyes, the big defender who's previously played for Celtic and Cambridge United. He's better known as Kermit to his teammates, I'm told. David Moyes. And keeping the opposition at bay will be goalkeeper Keith Woff, who's Bristol City's reigning champion at Trivial Pursuit. So, Mansfield, beware. And alongside him is Paul Fitzpatrick from Merseyside, who was with Bolton Wanderers for last year's Freight Rover final. He's now at Ashton Gate. Paul has a unique boast. He's apparently got a girl in every street. And I'm not joking, because that's the address of his girlfriend in Liverpool, I'm told. So, Paul Fitzpatrick. And making up the numbers in more senses than one, Radio Bristol's Bristol City reporter, Phil Tottle, better known as Aris Tottle to his friends. In half an hour's time, we should know who's the brainiest of the teams. I think we ought to get underway with round one. Now, before we came on air, we held a toss of a coin, and it was in the Radio Bristol studios. We didn't cheat. Bristol City won, and they've decided in cricketing parlance to put Mansfield in. So would you like to get underway with question number one in round one, Andy?
Yes, round one is a round of general football questions, an individual round. Very simply, 2 points for a correct answer, 1 point if offered and accepted as a bonus. So we start off immediately with the first question to George Foster, and quite an appropriate question as well. What was the Freight Rover Trophy previously called?
Full Members Cup.
Is a wrong answer, so we can offer it for a bonus to Bristol.
Well, David Moyes is in the number one batting position for Bristol City. David, what was the Freight Rover Trophy previously called, please?
Well, we think it's the Associate.
The Associate what?
Trophy. No. Members Trophy.
I think it. They weren't quite close enough for a bonus. The Associate Members Cup. It was close. David Moyes is looking daggers at me, but no good for that, David, because we have to move on to your question. Bristol City won last year, of course. You win the team, so you should know. But who were the first Wembley winners in the Freight Rover Trophy?
Wigan.
Wigan is correct, and they beat Brentford by 3-1 at Wembley. So that's 2 points to Bristol City underway in this quiz. Andy?
So Bristol City with the first points on the board. Let's see whether Kevin Hitchcock can pull things level for Mansfield. Kevin, Laurie McMenemy resigned as manager of Sunderland recently. Can you name two other clubs that he's managed?
Grimsby and Southampton.
Is correct for 2 points. Of course, the other club was Doncaster Rovers.
Right, it's a question for Paul Fitzpatrick for Bristol City. Who won this season's European Cup Winners' Cup, Paul?
I think it was Ajax of Amsterdam.
Hey, beautifully pronounced, don't you think, Andy?
So let's continue with the news of that European Cup Winners' Cup as we move on to Nev. We just heard that Ajax won the European Cup Winners' Cup, but who did they beat in the final?
Good question.
Looks around for inspiration. Nothing to do with British Rail, this. Definitely nothing to do with British Rail. Time up here at Nottingham. Let's see whether we can find a bonus point.
Well, it's Keith Woff, who's the expert on these European teams. Keith?
Lokomotive Leipzig.
Absolutely correct. There we are. Keith Woff punching the air with delight in the Radio Bristol studio. And it brings us on to Keith's own question. So you've scored a bonus. Let's see if you can get 2 points for your own question. Which former Welsh international spent his third spell with Burnley in the season just ended?
Leighton James.
Leighton James. Well done to Keith Woff.
So let's see whether Stan Searle can pick up some points for Mansfield. Stan, John Aldridge plays international football for the Republic of Ireland, but where was he born?
A Liverpool lion.
A Liverpool lad he is as well.
On to Phil Tottle at this end then, for the last question in this round. Phil, can you name the property company who want to build on Craven Cottage?
Marler Estates.
Marler Estates is correct. So that wraps up round one. Katrina Roberts is keeping the score for us. Katrina, can we have the state of the teams, please, after that first round?
Bristol City have 9 points, Mansfield Town have 4.
Very early days indeed, I'm sure you'll agree. 9-4, but that's just the opening shots. Mansfield quite happy to lull Bristol into a false sense of security. I think they'll do pretty well on this second round, because this is a round which is a team question. In this round, you'll be asked to name a famous football team, and you've got 30 seconds to shout out as many names as possible. Substitutes don't count. So the question to the Mansfield team: name the Tottenham team that won the 1981 FA Cup final against Manchester City in 1981, that is. And the team was the same for both the first game and the replay. Your 30 seconds start.
Leipzig.
Nine.
Leipzig.
Correct for one.
Villa.
Villa is one.
Miller.
Ardiles.
Miller. Ardiles.
Hoddle.
Hoddle.
Houghton.
Crooks.
Correct. Crooks is right.
Perryman.
Correct. Two to go. Three to
Archibald.
Go. Archibald is one of them. Two left.
Galvin.
Galvin is correct.
Ooten.
Already got that one.
Price.
Wrong.
Graham Roberts.
Graham Roberts is correct for a full house.
Bingo.
Beat that.
Impressive stuff there, Andy, I think. I think there was a football yearbook floating around the studio somewhere, but never mind, we've probably got one here if we can find it. On to the question for Bristol City then. Right, lads, you've got a lot to live up to after that fine showing by Mansfield. Same question, except it's a different team that we want you to name. Can you name the Chelsea team that won the 1970 FA Cup final against Leeds? And the team, once again, was the same for the first game and the replay.
Benetti. Harris.
Yep.
Dempsey.
Yep.
Tamblyn.
Houseman.
Yes. Cook.
Hollins, yes.
Hudson.
Cook.
Harris.
Somebody said Osgood, didn't they?
Webb.
We've had Harris.
David Webb.
Hutchinson.
Hutchinson. Two to go, I make it.
Hudson.
Houseman.
Not Hudson, no. And we've had
Cook.
Houseman.
Charlie Cook.
We've had Charlie Cook.
Hollins.
You've had Hollins. Two to go.
Dempsey.
You've had Dempsey earlier on as well. So Bristol City falling too short there. Can Mansfield fill in the gaps, do you think, Andy?
So we've got 2 points on offer here if we can fill in those two. You've got 30 seconds to get those two names.
McCready
is one of them.
Baldwin?
Baldwin is correct for 2 points. So Mansfield Town doing rather well on those questions. Perhaps we'll have another round of those if we can find another football yearbook. But in the meantime, let's find out what that's done to the scores from Katrina.
It's very close now. Bristol City has 18 points, Mansfield Town 17.
So Mansfield coming back well there. Wonder what they're like on football venues, and indeed Bristol City, because that's the next round, individual round. Nigel and I are going to tell you 8 different football grounds, and all we want to know is what teams play there. Starting off then with George Foster, and your ground is Prenton Park.
Tranmere.
Tranmere Rovers is correct for 2 points.
Well done to George. For David Moyes, Springfield Park, please, David.
Wigan.
Wigan is correct.
So we move on to Kevin Hitchcock, and a ground for you is Millmore.
Rotherham.
Rotherham is correct for 2 points.
They're pretty good on these, aren't they? Paul Fitzpatrick, who plays at Brunton Park?
Carlisle.
Carlisle is a good guess. Ooh.
Let's move on to Neville, and the ground in question is Gresty Road.
Crewe.
Crewe is correct straight away for 2 points.
Is this because Mansfield have played at them all recently? No, sorry about that. Onto a ground where one or two might have played. Elm Park, please, Keith Woff.
Reading.
Reading. He's obviously starred in goal on there on a few occasions.
Right, well, I shouldn't think both Stan and Phil should have too much trouble with the last two. If they do, then perhaps we'll have to start questioning their rights as football reporters. Stan, your ground, Feethams.
I think it must be Darlington.
I think it must as well. 2 points for Feethams.
OK, so Phil Tottle, Somerton Park.
Newport County.
Newport County. Now, that is the luck of the draw. I should say that Phil actually lives in Newport, but it wasn't arranged like that, honestly. Right, so...
They've won the toss, and the toss was down there, and he's got Newport County as well. We'll carry on.
We're going to win the Freight Rover Trophy as well.
Let's have the scores, please, Katrina.
Bristol City 26, Mansfield Town 25.
So, just... So, just one point in it as we move on to round four, the first of our sounds rounds. Now, in this round, you're going to hear six different football club records. You know, those atrocious records that clubs bring out when they get to Wembley. And the first record goes to Mansfield, and all we want to know is which club.
Everybody's cheering the Blues. Everybody's spreading the news. Everybody's football crazy, football mad. All the kids are mums and dads. Everybody's cheering the Blues.
Right, for 2 points.
Everton.
Everton is correct for 2 points.
Talk about the luck, you know, that was easy, wasn't it? Here goes with number two.
There's a lot of clubs, Nigel, who play in blue.
That's true, yeah. They don't all sing that badly, though, do they? Right, on to number two for Bristol City. Some puzzled looks, I have to tell you, in the Bristol City lineup here. David Moyes is looking madly to see if he can find some inspiration. Keith Woff scribbling madly. It's a team game, this, of course, so you can chip in.
Man United.
It's not Manchester United, David, no. So a bonus chance for Mansfield.
And Kevin Hitchcock looks rather confident on this one.
Chelsea.
I'm afraid his confidence was not right. It's Arsenal is the answer to that one. So Kevin Hitchcock is now thrown out of the studios as we move on to the third sounds for Mansfield. See if you can spot this one.
The city's marching on, led by George and John. Sky Blues, shooting to win.
Yes, as you say, Nigel, it's the luck of the draw, really, but we're keeping Kevin Hitchcock quiet and perhaps the rest of the team can come up with the answer.
I think it's
Another Midland Cup winner. Yeah, there's going to be two on consecutive weeks. Coventry City is correct for 2 points.
Well, we've obviously got to give you a bit of a chance, but I wonder if this particular bunch can be identified by Bristol City. Instant recognition, ha-ha. Paul Fitzpatrick was the first to get it, I think. Paul?
We think it's West Ham.
You think it's West Ham? You're absolutely right, it is. Well done.
That's a great disappointment at this end, I can tell you. Kevin Hitchcock was almost leaping around the room with that one. He claims to be a West Ham supporter, but still, we'll let you off that one. See how you go on this one, Mansfield. It does go on a bit, that one, doesn't it? And I hope it isn't a prophetic line. Jordan's sure to score, never heard of him. Any answers, Mansfield?
Man United.
Man United is correct for 2 points.
Yeah, Big Joe's a great singer. He'll be having a good celebration in the bath after the final, I reckon. On to the final one in this round, then, for Bristol City. I think Bristol City fancy those lyrics. They might record it themselves, I think. Who do you think it was?
We think it's Everton.
It's not Everton.
So, let's come over for a bonus. I think, once again, Hitchy's looking fairly confident on this one. No, he's sitting back now. He daren't. But he's prompting all the rest. George?
Hitchy thinks it's Liverpool.
And Hitchy is right for once. 1 point for a bonus. So, Mansfield well on song in that round. Let's find out what that's done to the scores. Katrina?
Mansfield Town have gone into the lead with 32. Bristol City have 28.
Right, let's move on to round five then, and this will really test the knowledge of the individual players on their own clubs. Now, there seems little point in offering a bonus on this, because I'm rather sure that they won't know the answers to their own clubs, never mind the opposition's clubs. But it's 2 points if the individual gets it right, 1 point if another member of the team answers it instead. So, George, we'll start off with the Mansfield Town team. We'll start with you, George Foster. What season was Mansfield Town admitted to the Football League?
31-32.
Were you playing at the time?
Kevin Kent was.
We'll give you 2 points for a correct answer. And the next question then, let's bring in Kevin. Kevin, Mansfield Town have had two championship-winning sides. Division 4 in 1974, Division 3 in 1976-77. Can you name either of the captains of those two sides?
Sandy Pate?
Sandy Pate is correct for the first one, the 4th Division side. You don't know the 3rd Division captain, do you?
Gordon Hobson.
Gordon Hodgson is correct for that one, but you still only get 2 points. So to Nev, your question, quite appropriately really, as a striker, can you name one of the two Stags players who between them scored 78 goals in the 1962-63 season?
West.
West is a wrong name, and we can offer it for a 1 point bonus.
Ken Wagstaff.
Ken Wagstaff, says Stan Searle. I'm sure he knows the other one as well.
Roy Chapman.
Roy Chapman with a bit of a prompt. So Stan Searle picking up a 1 point bonus as we move to the final question on Mansfield Town, and that goes to Stan. Stan, Mansfield's record attendance is 24,467. That was for an FA Cup tie back in 1953. I think I was about 1 year old at the time. Who were the opponents?
Nottingham Forest.
Is correct for 2 points.
So it's Bristol City's turn now to answer some questions about their own club. Once again, the first question is going to go to David Moyes. David, in what year was the original Bristol City club formed? Come on, David. Can we have an answer, please?
1893.
It wasn't 1893. So can anybody else on the Bristol City team give us a 1 point bonus? Worth a guess.
Was it 1897?
The original club was formed in 1894. On to question number two then for Bristol City, and it's for Paul Fitzpatrick. What was Bristol City's original name? A question all Scousers should know.
Bristol South End.
Bristol South End is correct. I thought they had a pier in Southend myself, but still. On to number three, that's Keith Woff. And Keith, who scored the most league goals in a season for Bristol City?
John Attio.
Not John Attio, I'm afraid. It's not John Attio, so can somebody...
Don Clark.
Don Clark. Phil Toddle picking up that one bonus point. And our last one then on the Bristol City round for Phil Toddle. Phil, City's record attendance is 43,335 for an FA Cup tie in 1935. Who were their opponents?
Preston North End.
Preston North End is the correct answer. So, Katrina, tell us what that has done to the overall totals.
Mansfield Town have 39 points, Bristol City 34.
So, a 5-point advantage here in Nottingham as we move on to round six. An identity question. Who am I? And basically, I'll give 5 clues, and the faster the team identify the sports personality, then the more points they get for the answer. So it's a team question, remember, so shout out as soon as you like. Clue number one, then, for a sports personality. Born 29th of September 1956 in London, and has been a household name for the past 10 years, and it's not Domestos. Move on to a second clue. His greatest moments have come in 1980 and 1984.
Trevor Brooking?
Is a wrong answer. Clue number three, he supports Chelsea Football Club.
Sebastian Coe?
Sebastian Coe is... No. Sebastian Coe, as well as Sebastian Coe, is correct for 3 points.
Well, of course, Andy, we've got Sebastian Coe's elder brother, Martin, scoring a lot of runs for Somerset these days down this part of the world. So 3 points, yes, for Mansfield. So you didn't do too badly there, but I'm sure that Bristol City can do even better. So here goes the questions for Bristol City then. Once again, five clues and try and get the identity of the mystery personality as soon as you can. Born on the 21st of January, 1940, in Columbus, Ohio, in the United States. Can I have a guess?
Jack Nicklaus.
What a good guess. Five excellent points for Keith Woff. Are you a golfing fan?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
You study the birth dates of golfers, obviously.
Columbus. Where is it? Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio, yeah. 5 points there, so we're coming back on the rails, I think. Katrina, what's the score?
Close now. Mansfield Town have 42, Bristol City 39.
Let's move on quickly then to round seven, another sounds round, and this is all about famous cup finals. It's a team question, two for the right answer, one if answered correctly on a bonus. The first question then goes to Mansfield. You're going to hear commentaries from an FA Cup final, or at least six FA Cup finals. Listen to the commentary and then try and answer the question. For the first clip, we go back to 1964.
Well, we're after time, after the 45 minutes on our watch, so this is injury time we're playing at the moment. As West Ham move into the attack, two goals each at the moment, Hurst onto the ball. He won't get a shot in, but he does part with the ball to the right wing to Braybrook. Braybrook right across the header there, and it's there! It's the goal to West Ham!
That was the... action then, the winning goal for the final between in the final between West Ham and Preston in 1964, as if I needed to tell Kevin Hitchcock. Question is, who scored that winning goal for the Hammers?
Peter Braybrook.
Is a wrong answer. We offer it over to Bristol for a possible bonus.
I don't know if, I think any of our team were actually born in 1964, apart from David Moyes.
Yeah.
Was it John Sissons?
It wasn't Keith Woff, no, it wasn't. It was Ronnie Boyce. So it brings us to Bristol City's question. Very similar, same idea. You're going to hear a snatch of commentary from an FA Cup final. We're moving forward a couple of years to 1966 and Everton against Sheffield Wednesday.
Certainly there's a tremendous amount of noise coming from behind that Everton goal now as Everton sweep in to a 3-2 lead. After 57 minutes of this match, they were 2-0 down. And now with 15 minutes to go, they are 3-2 up. I doubt if a Wembley Cup final... Oh, yes, the 1953 Cup final with Stanley Matthews. But certainly, for a comeback, this ranks with that. A magnificent comeback by Everton. No praise is too much for the way they've fought back here this afternoon.
So that was another Cup final, much like Coventry City's success. But what we want to know, after that dramatic winning goal for Everton, who was the goal scorer?
Mike Trevilcho.
Phil Tottle, it wasn't Mike Trevilcho, I'm afraid. So Keith Woff knew it wasn't as well, and he's just about to throttle Phil.
Mike Trevilcho, in fact, scored a couple in that game, but he wasn't the one we were looking for. Can we get a bonus here for Mansfield?
He scored the third goal.
Deep discussions going on. They all look to Stan Searle. He can obviously remember 1966. Stan was there.
I can't remember.
As always, with his eyes shut.
Harvey?
Harvey is wrong. The answer, and you'll kick yourself, Derek Temple, who got that goal. And a mistake, as I recall it, by Jerry Young, the Sheffield Wednesday wing half, as they were in 1966. Right, let's move on to our third clip. We heard reference there to the 1953 final, that famous one between Blackpool and Bolton. So let's hear a piece of action from the Matthews final.
Here come Blackpool again. Right half, pushing that ball through. Fenton through to Taylor, through to Matthews. Matthews on the edge of the Bolton penalty area, dribbling right in. Past his man, 2 yards out, squares it. Hit it, how it is. Yes, it's there. It's there. Perry has scored. Perry has scored number four. Laid on by Stanley Matthews, Blackpool have scored number four.
It's worth it if just to hear the commentary of the day. Bill Perry scoring the fourth goal for Blackpool in that 4-3 win. But what nationality was Bill Perry?
South African.
South African, South African is correct for 2 points.
Spot on there for Mansfield Town. Well, let's stay in the 50s for Bristol City's next piece of action to 1959 and Nottingham Forest against Luton.
Forrest again, cheekily, take it quite comfortably.
Inside left, Gray, Gray, right across the field, ahead of there, and there's Bainham is there. Number two.
Short but sweet, the winning goal for Forrest, but who scored the first goal and then broke his leg?
Roy Dwight.
Roy Dwight from Phil Tottle, well done.
Yes, better known, of course, as Elton John's uncle. To question number five, then. To the 70s we move on now, and a very famous win for a second division club.
I make it now that we are almost 2 minutes into injury time. Sunderland are one up, and they've won the cup! They've won the cup! And you've never seen anything like this. I can see players in red and white vertically striped shirts prone on the ground. One of them knelt rather like Jackie Charlton when England won the World Cup in 1966. It's that kind of feeling, that kind of sentiment, that kind of emotion. But Sunderland have won the cup, the first second division side for 42 years.
Yes, a single goal victory for Sunderland over Leeds. The question is, which club does the goal scorer now manage?
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen is correct. Ian Porterfield, the goal scorer. And 2 points to Mansfield.
I have it on reliable authority that Keith Woff here, who used to play for Sheffield United, is Ian Porterfield's greatest fan. moving swiftly on to our final clip, which comes from one of the most dramatic finales to an FA Cup final.
Here comes Brady, though, for Arsenal. They still perhaps want to finish it off before extra time. The ball floats high across the area. The shot comes in. It's there. It's 3-2 for Arsenal. And I do not believe it. I swear I do not believe it. Lovely running by Brady. Put the ball across. Bailey was nowhere. And the United players have fallen to the ground.
So, quite simply, who was the goal scorer?
Alan Sunderland.
Alan Sunderland. Keith Woff, well done. There's 2 points for Bristol City. Takes us to the end of round seven. Not far to go now. Katrina, please, what's the latest state of play?
Mansfield Town are still leading with 46 points. Bristol City, 43.
So just 3 points in it as we go to the final round, round eight. And this is a general sports questions round, but a warning to the teams to watch it because there's one or two little catch questions in there. The points will become apparent from the questions. Question number one then goes to George Foster from the Mansfield team, and quite appropriately really, as the skipper of Mansfield, it's a question about captains. Apart from Emlyn Hughes and Bill Beaumont, can you name the four other question of sport captains? A point for each.
Carson.
Willie Carson for one.
Edwards, Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards is another. Two to go. I think we're going to have to gong you out of this one, but we've got 2 points for that. Can Bristol perhaps pick up a couple?
I think David Moyes might be able to. David, two more question of sport captains.
We think one's Cliff Morgan.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other is Henry Cooper.
Henry Cooper, well done. So two good points picked up there by Bristol City on the bonus. Now that brings us on to David's own question. David, name three former Scunthorpe United players who've captained England, your favourite team.
Know them all well. Kevin Thoughts? Keegan.
Kevin Keegan.
Ray Clemens.
Yep.
And Ian Botham.
Oh, he got it. He got the trick. Hey, you didn't think they'd get that one, Andy, did you?
Well, I suppose down in the West Country you've heard of Ian Botham, haven't you?
Yes, occasionally.
Right, let's move on to question three then, and the question going to Kevin Hitchcock. It's about last Saturday's FA Cup final. Who refereed the game?
Neil Midgley.
Neil Midgley is correct and refereed it very well indeed.
Well, it's not cup finals this time. In fact, we dip into the non-league sphere. This is for Paul. Which current First Division manager began his football career with Nuneaton Borough?
I think it's David Pleat.
You think it's David Pleat?
Yeah.
Correct, it is. Well done.
As we move on to Neville, which former Manchester City footballer boasts the same name as a former Australian cricketer?
Rodney Marsh.
Rodney Marsh is correct.
Right, it's Keith Woff's question. What's the common link between IFK Gothenburg, Sugar Ray Leonard and Paul Hogan? IFK Gothenburg, Sugar Ray Leonard and Paul Hogan. His headphones have just fallen off.
Dundee United.
Well, Dundee United. Yeah, I think we have to give you that. Gothenburg, of course, played Dundee United in the UEFA Cup. Sugar Ray Leonard and Angelo Dundee and Paul Hogan and Crocodile Dundee. So well done, the points there for Keith Woff.
And so to the last question to the Mansfield team, and it goes to Stan Searle. And I don't think, Nigel, we can really offer this one for a bonus. But, and I think it becomes apparent when I put the question, which captain won this year's TV Question of Sport? Now, you've got a 50-50 chance here. The clues are it wasn't Cliff Morgan, Willie Carson.
I think it was Beaumont.
It was Billy Beaumont for 1 point. So, Nigel, it's all down to you for the final question.
It is, and we come on to the final question for Phil Tottle. And it is, Phil, name two Aussies who've played in recent FA Cup finals at Wembley. Two Aussies who've played...
Craig Johnson.
Is one.
Ozzy Ardiles.
And Ozzy Ardiles. Hey, Andy, what a sickener, eh?
So, the final score, then?
Final score of Bristol City, 51. Mansfield Town, 51.
Right. Sounds like extra time if we needed it, but I think we've run out of time, so I think we'll have to settle the dispute at Wembley, don't you, Andy?
Well, I think the lads have got something like a football match to play and can't stop any longer, but it sounds as though it's a good aperitif for the match. 51 points all, I'm sure you'll all agree, fine entertainment, and now it's down to the real thing at Wembley, and that's the one that counts the most. Can I, from this end of the proceedings, thank the Mansfield team of George Foster, Kevin Hitchcock, Neville Chamberlain and Stan Searle. Best of luck, lads, in the real game, a sentiment I'm sure being expressed by Nigel down there in Bristol.
Yes, to captain for today, David Moyes, to Paul Fitzpatrick, goalkeeper Keith Woff and Radio Bristol reporter Phil Tottle, they'll all need plenty of luck at Wembley. Thanks for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed our fun quiz, and let's make it a really family-friendly Freight Rover final.
Welcome back to Wembley Stadium, where the atmosphere now really electric as we come up to, 17 minutes to three. 17 minutes to the kick-off, and certainly if the excitement's anything like the quiz that we recorded the other evening, then we're in for a tremendous afternoon's entertainment. Great fun recording that quiz. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Well, in a few minutes' time, the two teams are due to emerge from the tunnel away to our left. So as we await their arrival, let the Stag skipper, George Foster, personally introduce his team.
Kevin Hitchcock. Well, what can you say about Hitchy? I've played in front of quite a few good goalkeepers in my time. I mean, he's only 24 years of age. And if he improves, as he has been since he's been at Mansfield Town Football Club, there's no reason why he can't play at the top level. It's in his hands now. I think he's destined for the top, Hitchy. Number two, Mike Graham. Mick, again, you know, he's an excellent professional. I think that's how you would... He would talk about Mick Graham. He's had a few kicks in his time. He's been given free transfers. He's bounced back. For me this season, he's been one of our most consistent players. A type of player who doesn't look exciting, but he does a very, very thorough job. Paul Garner. I'm pleased for Paul personally because he's had his fair share of injuries this season. It looked as though he was going to miss this Wembley Cup final because of his cheekbone. But the type of character that he is, he's bounced back and he's in the side to play. Tony Lowry. It doesn't show a lot of emotion, Tony. Certainly these Freight Rover games have brought the emotion out of him. Still a comparatively young man, 24, 25 years of age. On his day, as good as anything around. Tony Kenworthy. He's played at the top level. But even now playing at Wembley is a big kick for Tony. He gees the lads up, gets the lads going. He's a good pro. Kevin Kent. Kevin's had an exceptional season this year as far as I'm concerned. An ever-present. I don't know whether he was going to be a regular starter at the start of the season. But he's got in the side, he's played every game, and he's even started to score goals. Jason Danskin, well, I don't think Jason can believe just what's happening to him. You know, although he was at a big club, he was playing in the Central League side. Comes to Mansfield on loan. Within 2 or 3 weeks, he's going to be playing at Wembley. And he's signed a full-time contract now with the club. Definitely one for the future. Good player, good ability. Myself and Paul Garner. Again, Watty just come back from a cartilage operation. I'm pleased for Watty. He's had his fair share of injuries. He's a goal scorer, and there aren't many around nowadays. I just hope that he can turn it on for us at Wembley and score a couple of goals for us. Keith Cassells, well, the man of the season. He's had a fantastic season. Deserves everything he's got. All the accolades, all the trophies that he's won this year, he's deserved every one of them. He's played at Wembley before. He hasn't talked a lot about it. He's looking forward to the day, I think. And I just hope that we can produce a winner's medal between us this year. And Mark Kearney. Without Mark in the side this year, I think we've struggled a bit. Play at left back, midfield. He's involved in all our set pieces. He's been scoring a few important goals for us this year. And the one against Middlesbrough, I wouldn't have fancied taking that penalty. Not with the pressure he was under. But all credit to him, he came through. And Mark Kearney.
And that was the George Foster, the Mansfield skipper, personally introducing his side and doing it very well indeed. That's the lineup then for Mansfield Town this afternoon. Any moment now, the two teams will be appearing from the tunnel away to our left. The moment we're being entertained by the band from Romford. Out there in the centre circle, we've had the pre-match action, the dogs, we've had the action of the TVAM select team against the Questioner Sports side, which incidentally, that ended all square at one apiece. Incidentally, if this match ends at all square at anything, one apiece, nil-nil, whatever you like, there's bound to be a result today, because after extra time, if it's still all square, then we go to that terrible moment of penalty shootouts. Let's hope it doesn't be decided on a penalty shootout. Well, in these last few moments as we await for the teams to come out, perhaps we can bring in Stan Searle for his final thoughts as we approach the start of the match. Stan, we said earlier that it was an emotional occasion for many Mansfield fans. Outnumbered a wee bit, I think, looking around the stadium this afternoon, but they're certainly making every moment, enjoying every moment of it.
Yes, indeed. Of course, you've got to remember that Bristol is rather a bigger conurbation than Mansfield, some 800,000 people in that area, only 200,000 in Mansfield, and very, very well represented here this afternoon, and in good voice early on. I hope they'll be in good voice and have plenty to shout about at the end of the 90 minutes. And as you say, Andy, a very emotional moment. I'm just looking towards the tunnel to see Mansfield and Ian Greaves come out of that tunnel. And I never really thought, and I'm sure not one of the Mansfield fans here this afternoon ever thought that, say, a Mansfield Town side being led out for a Wembley final. And third and fourth division it may well be, but there is no better atmosphere in any match here than there will be this afternoon. And it's been very noticeable walking down Wembley Way that the fans have greeted each other. There's been no problems, no fighting, no trouble anywhere. They've greeted each other warmly and wished each other the best of luck, and let's hope that at the end of the day that will be the same atmosphere, and that the atmosphere will be the same throughout the 90 minutes. But certainly an emotional moment. Any second now we'll be seeing the Stags and Bristol coming out of that famous tunnel, and let's hope that the final lives up to the one just a week ago when Coventry and Tottenham really did football a great deal of good.
Yes, the memory of that Coventry City Tottenham final still lingering around this Wembley Stadium. The sun beaming down now on Wembley. It really does look a glorious place when the sun's shining. Perhaps not too glorious a place when you see it empty. I was fortunate to be here a couple of weeks ago when the stadium was absolutely empty and able to wander around a little bit and soak in the atmosphere of a Wembley when it hasn't got people in. This afternoon we've got something like 40,000-50,000 people here, red and white away to our left-hand side, and away to our right is the yellow and blue of Mansfield Town. And somewhere deep down in that tunnel, the two sides at this moment, no doubt kicking the odd ball against the wall. Perhaps Martin O'Neill, as someone who's experienced this sort of thing, can tell us what's going through the players' minds at this last few moments.
I think they'll be very nervous, and I do. Just funnily enough, we're talking about nerves, and something I'd forgotten all about, having been out of the game for a year or two. But Stuart Pearce's performance on his debut game epitomised Wembley nerves for me. And I think Stuart Pearce is probably the best left back in the country. But he was up against it. He probably felt that Brazil had a wee bit more to offer, and he became nervous. But just as the crowd roared, people must know that the two teams now have appeared out onto the field.
Yes, Ian Greaves on the right-hand side, Terry Cooper on the left-hand side, leading the two sides out. And the Bristol City fans down away to that tunnel end, waving their banners. Mansfield's banners away down below us and away to the right. A very proud moment indeed for all of Mansfield to see. And indeed a proud moment for Ian Greaves. And as Ian Greaves retraces the steps he last took 29 years ago when appearing in an FA Cup final for Manchester United, what thoughts are going through his mind at this moment?
I want for the town of Mansfield and for these lads in that dressing room, I want them to bring that cup back so they can show it off at Mansfield. It'd be a day that no one will ever forget, and 50 years from now, the youngsters who were at the match were telling their grandchildren, I was there, it was the day that I saw Mansfield win the cup. And that's what I want. I want to see us win the damn thing and not come back holding some paper effigy of it that I feel wants burning on the town hall steps if we do.
Ian Greaves' thoughts as he walks out onto the pitch at the moment. The George Foster waving, I'm sure it's not a wave to our commentary box, I'm sure he's spotted his family and relations below us. And in fact, it isn't Terry Cooper who led the Bristol City side out, but in fact it looks like the club chairman who's led them out. Terry Cooper, who had that honour last year. Terry Cooper at this moment walking down on the sidelines, on the dog track, just waving to some fans. But Mansfield Town lining up just in front of us. Kevin Hitchcock, the man who's waving to the fans. Mike Graham there also waving, and all the Mansfield team looking for their relatives, looking for the fans, and at the moment waiting to meet the special guest of honour this afternoon, the legendary Tom Finney. This afternoon, Bristol City will be playing in white shirts and red shorts. Mansfield Town in their all-too-familiar yellow shirts with blue trim. So Bristol City just changing from their familiar red shirts and white shorts. And at the moment, we have Tom Finney coming out to meet the two sides. And Stan Searle, without wishing to bring your age into it, you can probably remember Stan Searle, remember Tom Finney a little better than I can.
Oh yes, indeed. I saw him play here in the final when Preston lost to West Brom. In fact, I thought on that day Finney had a marvellous game, but really his good work wasn't taken advantage of, and of course Preston lost on that occasion. But certainly a marvellous player, and I think what we must remember, that not only was he a superb footballer, he was a gentleman out on the pitch. Never a wrong word, never a wrong action, and a very good example for younger players today who perhaps tend to ape some of the professionals who perform on the park rather the bad things than the good things.
So Tom Finney going through the Bristol City side at the moment, being introduced to all the players by the City captain, Brian Williams, the fullback, the number three. And he shakes hands with the officials and poses for a few photographs. And in just one moment's time, Tom Finney at this moment crossing the halfway line to shake hands with George Foster. As he does at this very moment, George Foster, who will introduce him to the Mansfield Town team. The players, half of the players in fact, still looking towards the stand where we're sitting at the moment. And first of all, introduced to the ball boy, Kevin Kent introduced. Gary Pollard, one of the substitutes this afternoon. And alongside him, another of the substitutes, Ian Stringfellow. Paul Garner, a few weeks ago, we'd never thought that Paul Garner would be playing in this game because of that terrible accident at Chester. Tony Lowry introduced to him, Neil Watmore. Jason Danskin, what a fairy tale it's been for Jason Danskin, playing Central League football just a couple of months ago for Everton. Kevin Hitchcock, Mike Graham are shaking hands. And Tom Finney and Ian Greaves exchanging a word or two at this moment. Old friends, old buddies, they know what this game's been like for a long, long time. And certainly at the moment, the players looking, all they want to do is to get out there and run those legs and get them stretched a little bit. Martin, you know from what it's like. At this moment, the last thing the players want to be doing is standing around, really.
Yes, and funnily enough, the number of times I've been introduced there, and I suppose it'd probably be over 10 or 10, perhaps 15 times, I don't ever remember being introduced. I can't actually remember whoever introduced us. The only thing that you really want to do now is get out, get limbered up and get the game started. And this, it's lovely to go right out from the tunnel to come to the halfway line is an excellent feeling, terrific. You think everybody's looking at you in particular, but these last 3 or 4 minutes are just, for me, I feel like just a sort of a waste of time, as it were, just wanting to get on with the game.
Well, the national anthem being played at the moment, let's soak up some of the atmosphere. So the preliminaries are over and the players, yes, do break away to get those legs in action. The Mansfield team running up to the scoreboard end where the massed ranks of Mansfield fans are gathered, the banners are waving. And as these final moments tick away before the kick-off, let's turn to the thoughts of one player in the Stags side to have played in a Freight Rover final before. Leading scorer Keith Castles, his dream today must be to score.
To score at Wembley is a dream in itself, apart from ever playing there. So, you know, I'm looking to fulfil that dream, and I accept that responsibility. If I'm centre forward, then I've got to score goals, and that's the way it's been in football since day one. So, you know, no extra pressure for being at Wembley, that will never change.
Keith Castles, his thoughts to score, and he's just put one in the back of the net past Kevin Hitchcock. Let's hope that's the last time Kevin Hitchcock has to pick one out the net today. The Mansfield players warming up, quickly running down the Bristol City side at number one, Keith Woff in goal. The back four, number six, Andy Llewellyn. David Moyes at number four, and John McPhail, the two centre-backs. Number three, Brian Williams, the skipper. That completes their back four in midfield. Wearing number seven is Gordon Owen. Number two, Rob Newman. Number 10, Alan Walsh, normally a striker, a man who played alongside David Speedy for Darlington. At number eight, Gary Marshall. And up front, Joe Jordan, a man who knows what it's all about to play at Wembley. And number nine is Glyn Riley, who scored twice in last year's final. The Mansfield team we've already met, and as George Foster goes forward to toss up with Brian Williams, let's eavesdrop on his thoughts at this late stage.
I always think, you know, about winning, and I look around at my team and I look around the opposition, and there's not very many times this year that I would prefer to have been in the opposition dressing room. You know, and I look at our players, I look at our lads, man for man, you know, we're as good as anything in the third division. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, they're my teammates. But man for man, we are as good as anything that we've played this year.
George Foster then at this moment tossing the coin with Brian Williams, and also two of the smallest mascots I think I've ever seen on a football pitch. They make Mickey Ginn, the Coventry City midfielder, look like a giant. Two young lads, a very big day in the life of those two young lads. They'll never forget the day they were the mascots at Wembley in the Freight Rover final. Away to my right, the scoreboard says, "Welcome to the Freight Rover family final." And that very much the feeling on the day, a very much a family feeling too today. Let's hope it's good fun for all and a cracking game. The sun is shining. Our referee, Mr. Alan Gunn of Burgess Hill. The preliminaries are over. The clock ticking round to 3 o'clock. Just getting the surplus number of footballs off the pitch. And with the kickoff about to take place, to kick off commentary for us, I hand you over to Jeremy Nicholas.
Yes, thanks a lot, Andy, and the tracksuit tops just coming off. It really, the sun has come out just right. So there was a little bit of sun about for the warm-up game, but the sun really come out now, and it's very hot down there. Steve James, our man down on the pitch, when he was interviewing the players, he came back up rather red-faced. He said it was very hot down there, but those fans, it really does build up quite an atmosphere down there on the Wembley pitch. Keith Castles just shaking hands with the referee. It looks as though Mansfield Town are going to be kicking from right to left, so they'll have the supporters behind them in the first half. We're right up here in the press box, which, if you're used to watching Wembley on the television, is from the opposite side to which you're used to seeing finals played. We're high up above the Royal Box, rather too high for my liking, to be honest with you. But there you are, Mansfield going to be kicking from right to left. The Mansfield fans are down in front of us and to our right underneath the scoreboard. Plenty of yellow and blue. The flag's down at the moment, but they have been waving around. And to our left, the Bristol City fans at the tunnel end. So it's going to be Glyn Riley and Joe Jordan to kick off for Bristol City. The referee looking at his watch as the roar builds up for the start of the 1987 Freight Rover Trophy Final. He consults both his linesmen and they're off. Jordan to Riley, knocking it back. Bristol City just getting a feel of this ball. Castles going in, and Mansfield's skipper George Foster just booting the ball up, and an early touch for Kevin Hitchcock as it's nodded back to him there by Mike Graham. He gives Paul Garner a field. Nice to see Paul Garner playing here this afternoon, because desperately disappointed when he got that injury in the second leg of the Northern final up at Chester. So Hitchcock kicks the ball upfield for Mansfield Town. Let's see what they can do with this. Up jumps Neil Watmore. Ball coming out there. Mark Kearney going forward. Castles, was he fouled? Castles still going. He's in the box on the left-hand side. Tries to get the ball across, but blocked there by John McPhail. And the first corner of the afternoon will be to Mansfield Town. And it's going to be from the left-hand flank. Castles doing well, wriggling his way into the box there. Tried to get the cross in, but the big figure of John McPhail foiling him there. The ball going for a corner. And it's going to be Kevin Kent, ever-present in the Mansfield side this season, to take it. He pumps it in the middle. It drills across for Danskin. What can he do? He curls it with the outside of his foot. But the danger's away. And Bristol City coming away. And Mansfield looking a bit short at the back here, because Bristol going down that right-hand flank with Gordon Owen. What can he do? He slipped, in actual fact, and it's all mopped up by Tony Kenworthy, but the ball getting back in, and Bristol City once more attacking down the right. Oh, I say, just going across the front of Kevin Hitchcock's goal. None of the defenders cut that out. He's having a bit of word then, because there was a Bristol City man at the far post, and he could have nodded that in. Martin, if I can bring you in there, an exciting start to the game.
Very much so, and funnily enough, that all stemmed from a mistake by Danskin, who has played a short corner, has been played to him, and I thought he should have really held it in the first minute of the game, hold on to that position and try and play it wide again. But he tried to curve a little ball in. Suddenly the Bristol City broke in the attack, and there's one thing about the lad Owen, he's very, very quick down here, and he's caused the problem early on. So I think that's a good sign for Mansfield, because they've got away with it, and early warning signs for them now.
Right, so Bristol City have the ball in the centre circle because they have a free kick. And the Mansfield Town players all getting back. Mansfield really caught there because all the big defenders had come up for the corner. And as Martin said, a mistake there by Danskin. So Bristol City waiting to take this free kick just inside their own half. All the players are in the Mansfield half of the field now. Ball pumped into the box. Two players going up for it together. And the Mansfield player got a blow in the face there. But it's still Bristol down on the left-hand side. They're about halfway inside the Mansfield half. Graham going out to challenge, and a good challenge it was too from Mike Graham. The ball's still not away though, the danger's still not averted. It's pumped back into the box, and what can Bristol City do here? But it's good play there. Graham once again coming in to sort it out, and if Mansfield can break here, Bristol could be caught a bit at the back. And Mark Kearney going in a little bit too strongly there for the referee's liking. Neil Watmore pointing possibly to an earlier incident that he hadn't picked up on at all. But it's going to be Bristol City with the ball right in the centre of the field, halfway inside the Mansfield half. It's going to be Alan Walsh, their top scorer so far this season, to take it for Bristol City. But there's going to be a delay because the trainer's on for Mansfield Town. And it's Tony Kenworthy. I think he got a knock in the face, did he, Martin? Did you see that?
It was a very important challenge. And actually did very, very well indeed. But he clashed heads with the Bristol City centre-forward. I actually think it was Big Joe Jordan. And possibly even a thump there in the face. But hopefully he'll be all right, because he did very, very well. He got a touch to it, and it was vitally important.
A very brave challenge, that one.
Yes, very much so. Bristol City have started very positively. You know, even I noticed there from the free kick that the big centre-half wanted to get it down and play it quickly. So that's an encouraging sign for Bristol City, and not such an encouraging sign for Mansfield. But however, if they can weather the storm for the first 5 or 6 minutes then and get everybody, I think it's vitally important before they take this free kick. They'll it's vitally important that most of the players try and get an early touch so that they feel comfortable on the ball.
So Billy Dearden, the Mansfield coach, off the field now as Bristol City prepare to take this free kick in the form of Alan Walsh. Five men in the Mansfield wall, and the ball midway in the Mansfield half, just about in the centre of the pitch. So Walsh come forwards, blasts it straight at the wall, which holds solid, and the ball comes back out to Brian Williams, the Bristol captain, and a high cross in. Kevin Hitchcock just nonchalantly going up, plucking the ball out there and standing there very calmly with it under his right hand. Very confident young man, Kevin Hitchcock, best man yesterday at his best friend's wedding. Apparently he did a good job there. Let's hope he does a good job here this afternoon for Mansfield Town. As he kicks the ball upfield, he's satisfied that everyone's in the right position. Castle's going up, but he's beaten to the ball by McPhail, who heads it down the right-hand side. Could there be danger here? And once again, Tony Kenworthy in the wars. And this time he's got the free kick. Glyn Riley having words with the referee. And in fact, he shook hands with the referee. I don't know why he did that. But it's a Mansfield kick down in front of us, halfway in their own half.
I was quite pleased in that, to find that that was a free kick, because Ken Worthy was going to play it back to the goalkeeper and he hadn't even looked, and there was a possibility that the ball was going to be cut out. So I'm delighted they actually got the free kick rather than allowing play to develop.
And Garner's taken the free kick, pumped into the Bristol half, and Mansfield on an attack here. Watmore going down the left-hand side but cut out, and it's a throw in to Mansfield Town down the left-hand side, halfway in the Bristol half. Paul Garner to take it. And it's got movement there from Jason Danskin. Oh, and once again, rather a clumsy challenge coming in from one of the Bristol players there, the number two, Rob Newman. And once again, Paul Garner, free kick from just about an identical position. He's got men running for him. Could well be going to Danskin. Danskin on a run down the left-hand side. He's got Watmore as well, but he prefers to knock it back to Mark Kearney. The ball going in for Castles. Good 1-2 for Danskin. And Lowry gets the ball out. They switch the attack now to the right-hand side, where Mike Graham attacking down there. The ball chipped in. Watmore's gone across there. There's a man out to the right if he can find him. He can't, because he puts it inside for Danskin. And it looked like it was going to be a corner to Mansfield Town. But I think John McPhail was fouled there, possibly by Keith Castles. And it's going to be a free kick. No, it's going to be a goal kick. Very strange decision there, but it's a goal kick to Bristol City, and there's no score after 6 minutes. Quite an exciting start, Martin, but I've been quite used to that in cup finals recently.
Yeah, very much so. But the nice thing about Mansfield is that they stretched it out wide. They were attacking down the left-hand side, and three passes later they've got it down the right-hand side for the first time today. And I think that's the way that they can do it tonight. If they can keep the Bristol City stretched the whole way and try and get down the flanks. I know it's the old cliche, get down the flanks and cross the ball over, but in a stadium like this here, absolutely essential that you get width.
So Bristol going forwards again. Brian Williams pumping that ball in. Jordan up for it. It's headed out wide now to the right-hand side. And Owen again, the man, the danger there. The ball pumped back in. What can they do? Mansfield really in trouble, but good jockeying there once again by the number four for Mansfield, Tony Lowry. And now they're coming away down the left-hand side. Most of the attacks coming down the left-hand side at the moment, but the ball got back to the goal. All sorted out there by Bristol City number two, Rob Newman. And it really is quite an exciting start to the game. As I say, we haven't had to end as many goals as they did in the early moments of that Coventry Spurs. Two goals there in the first 9 minutes. Still 0-0 here at the moment. Bristol goalkeeper Keith Woff booting the ball high upfield. George Foster will sort that out. Oh, and a very bad challenge coming in there. The Bristol player's lying down, but he went right in there on George Foster. Both the physios running onto the field. It's going to be a race who can get their player first. The Mansfield physios won, I can tell you. George Foster holding, I think it's his chest, stomach actually, because he got the ball right in the stomach from a very high challenge from the Bristol player down on the ground. I can't see who it is at the moment.
It's Riley.
It's Glyn Riley. A very bad challenge, Martin.
Yes, it was a horrible looking challenge. I think Foster's gone for the ball and he hasn't seen Riley come in very late on him. I don't think Riley should have gone for the ball, to tell you the truth, because despite the fact that there was a possibility of him getting, the possibility was so slight that Foster, who's as brave as a lion anyway, has just gone on through and he's been thumped. I see him, he seems to be all right now, he's getting up, and perhaps Riley's done more damage to himself. That's two or three times Riley's come across. He was in a clash here with Kenworthy a minute or two ago, so he's possibly deserving of lying down there.
Quite a few of the Bristol City players already announcing their presence with quite a few tough challenges.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's possibly of the old ex-Leeds sorting out situation there with Terry Cooper as manager. I'm not saying for 1 minute that Bristol City are dirty, but what they're going to do is that they're going to make their presence felt, and they might as well do it in the most physical way possible.
So 9 minutes gone here at Wembley, still no goals. George Foster just getting a bit of a mopping up there. In fact, it's one of the other Mansfield players as well now being treated by Billy Dearden. Very physical start to the game from Bristol City, possibly the Leeds influence, as Martin was saying. So Bristol City here bidding to become the first club to retain the Freight Rover Trophy. They won it last year, beating Bolton 3-0 in the final. And other teams that have won the trophy: Wigan beat Brentford 3-1 back in 85. And of course, one man that figured in that game, Keith Cassells of Mansfield. And of course, Bournemouth won it back in 84 when it was known as the Associate Members' Cup. That was before it was played at Wembley, before it was sponsored by Freight Rover. So all of the Mansfield walking wounded appear to have been mopped up now by Billy Dearden.
See, Ken Worthy now has got a bandage over his head. He's obviously still suffering from that clash of head, and he's doing a couple of physical exercises now. Yeah. And I think he may be more injured than Big Foster.
I don't know if that's to keep any blood or anything out of his eyes, but it looks like the Foster that used to play for Brighton now with that on. In fact, as soon as the play started, he's ripped it off and thrown it down. It's lying near the centre spot now. Mansfield attacking down the left-hand side, and they've got a throw. Mark Kearney's going to take it. No, he leaves it for Paul Garner. Kearney runs for the corner flag. Castle's wriggling away from his marker, gets it back to Garner, but gives it away. And Joe Jordan comes in and sorts it all out. Could be danger here for Mansfield Town. But Foster on his man, and the Bristol City switched the attack beautifully down the left-hand side now. And it's Alan Walsh, the top scorer, going down, but a very important challenge there from Tony Lowry. And Lariat is coming away with it now. He's got a man free. If he can find him, it's Neil Watmore. But Watmore beaten to that ball by McPhail, and Bristol City have the ball in their own half. Now they switch to the right-hand side of play. If they can get it to Owen, he seems to be doing good stuff down this right-hand side. They have, in fact, got it to Owen now. He's got a man with him. Put down the line, but that was never going anywhere, and Mansfield Town can relax. Kenworthy without that band, as I say, he's taken it off, and it's lying somewhere in the centre circle now. Leaves it for Garner to take the throw on the left-hand side. Mansfield coming forward now. They've got the ball in the Bristol half. Watmore holding the ball up well. Danskin pumps it through for Castles to run onto. It's the two Bristol City defenders, though, to easily get the ball back to Keith Woff.
Yeah, it's a little bit frenetic to begin with, but that's understandable. The two teams have not really settled down now, and they've just both sides actually given the ball away a wee bit too often for their own liking. But I think the game will take a pattern in a minute or two.
So that kick from Keith Woff. Foster heads down and Mansfield come forward, and the referee said that was an unfair challenge on Kevin Kent, so it'll be a free kick from Tony Lowry, just about 10 yards inside his own half. In fact, Mike Graham takes it, gives it to Lowry. Lowry looks up, he's got a man free on the right-hand side. It's Castles, heads it down the right for Kevin Kent. What can he do? He's got Watmore in the middle, and Kearney as well. He's won himself a corner down that right-hand side. Mansfield's second corner of the game. Bristol City yet to have a corner. So it's going to be Kevin Kent with this corner in the middle. Watmore, Castles, Kearney's ready for a run at the far post. Foster's on the edge of the box. It's Foster's running in. Can he find him? Yes, he's going for that figure of Foster, but it's Lowry coming in behind him that gets it. McPhail getting away for Bristol City, and now it's going to be Owen down this right-hand side. Bristol City not really forward in enough numbers. He's just holding up the play, and Owen eventually getting the ball to his number two, Rob Newman, who pumps it wide for a man to run down that left-hand side, Gary Marshall, but it was too strong for him and it's run away, and that'll be a goal kick for Kevin Hitchcock. An example there, Martin, of a ball hit too hard, really, for this Wembley pitch.
Yes, but that was unlucky, actually. He just didn't find the right range. Otherwise, Mansfield would be a great deal of difficulty because they hadn't really covered in the right-hand side, and there was plenty of space for the left-back to run into there. But thankfully for Mansfield, the ball, as you say, was overhit.
Mansfield having the better of the two meetings of these teams this season. They drew 0-0 at Ashcombe, home of Bristol City, and Mansfield winning 2-0 at Field Mill. So Kearney gets onto the ball, 1-2 with the head of Castles. Castles going to run for him, is he? Yes, doing good stuff. Watmore's with him. Castles coming forward, he has a first shot, and from outside the box that went about 3 yards to the left-hand side of Keith Woff's post, and that gets the Mansfield fans clapping away the first shot of the game from Keith Castles. But really, very much like some of the shots that Chris Waddle's been having recently, a bit too far out, Martin.
Yeah, it was a bit wild at the end of it all, but he'll not feel too bad now. He's had a good thump at the ball, and I think he's, whatever little frustrations are inside him now, that'll be all taken away. He's actually had a shot at goal. He's not been terribly clever, but as I said, it's important for him. And he got a little run at the ball as well, too, for 3 or 4 yards before delivering the shot, so he'll feel much better.
Mansfield coming forward again, attack down the right-hand side there. Graham pumping the ball in for Watmore to run onto, but it was always going to be to Keith Woff, The ball seemed to be running away from the attackers at the moment to the goalkeepers, but of course as the game progresses that will all change as they get the feel of the size of this pitch and the beautiful nature of the turf. Now Bristol City halfway in the Mansfield half, going down the right hand side. It could well be coming inside here, and a good challenge there from Danske in helping in defence, but still Bristol City come forward. That's Brian Williams, the captain. They've won themselves a throw and they're round about level with the edge of the area down the left hand side, attacking the end where all the Mansfield fans are, Bristol City, this afternoon. It's going to be a long throw from Brian Williams. He's got a man running for him. It's Alan Walsh, the top scorer, knocks it back. Can Williams get it in here? And it's gone out to him. In fact, it's not Williams, it's Gary Marshall, but he's won himself another throw. Mansfield keeping them pinned down well in that left-hand corner. As long as you keep the ball out of the box, of course, the opponent's not going to score. It's going to be a long throw in this time, and Foster will go up for that, but it's Graham that gets to it. Kevin Kent heading it away. Jumping up well there, Kevin Kent. Kenworthy getting it away, getting his head to that, so I don't think his head's too badly. And there's just Castles in the Bristol City half, and he can't get to that ball, but Danskin can. Now Mansfield can come forward. They've got plenty of space down this left-hand side. Kearney and Watmore. Kearney leaves it for Watmore. No, he goes all his way. Castles into the box, waving his hand. Can Mansfield get it in here? But the ball took a deflection off the defender, took the sting out of it, and it just went back there to Keith Woff. It's a promising attack there. We'll stay with Bristol City coming forward down the left-hand side now with Gary Marshall. Great. Mike Graham jockeying off. Gary Marshall cutting inside, going outside. He's turned Graham. Kenworthy goes out to meet him, and a good challenge there from Kenworthy. And Bristol City win a corner down that left-hand side. And the game's really come to life in the last few minutes. It's end-to-end stuff. And they're playing the game without any messing about in the centre circle. It's from one end to the other. I think that's Bristol City's first corner of the game. Mansfield Town have had two. So it's going to be the number 7 for Bristol City, Gordon Owen, who's been attacking down the right, who switched to the left-hand side to take the corner. Pumps the ball in. Hitchcock pushes the man in front of him, but didn't come to him anyway. Going back to the man that took the corner, Gordon Owen. Cuts inside, Graham pumps it inside. Foster at the far post, headed away. Is it Castles? Hitting it over his head and away. And eventually Mansfield up and under it away. They're pushing out, hoping for the offside. But it goes back to Jordan, who's attacking down the right-hand side. And a good challenge coming in there from Tony Kenworthy. I think he's got over that knock that he took. It was a beautiful challenge there on Joe Jordan. But Bristol looking a bit dangerous here now. So it's a throw to Bristol City. Right over on the right-hand corner flag. Pumped in there. And Kenworthy going up for it again. Danskin coming in with high feet. Kicks it away for a corner, the second corner to Bristol City. It's two apiece now, and the Bristol City fans quiet. I think if they got a bit of a roar together, they might inspire their teams on. Everyone a bit quiet at the moment, plenty of singing early on in the game. But Gordon Owen seems to be taking the corners from either side at the moment for Bristol City, and he's going to pump this one in. He pumps it in high to the near post, and Hitchcock will go up for that one, and he punched it away well, but he's got himself a free kick, and he's having a few words with the Bristol City man. I think it was McPhail he jumped up with then. Kevin Hitchcock never short of a few words, but an unfair challenge on him there. Bristol City looking quite dangerous, Martin, coming forward in the last few minutes.
Yes, they'll be pleased the way they've settled down. They're getting the ball wide and they're actually causing problems, despite the fact that it was Gordon Owen on both sides of the field that's actually done the damage. But Mansfield got to beware of this particular attack.
Paul Garner cutting out that attack there. A bit of nastiness creeping in there between the number 9 for Bristol City, Glyn Riley. And I think it was Riley who had that foot up with Foster early on, so we might have to watch out for him. So it's now Bristol City with a throw on the left-hand side. And coming forward, but Danskin sorting it all out. Good first-time ball there to Watmore. Watmore holds it up, knocks it back to Kent. And Mike Graham turns round, looks like he's going to play it back to Hitchcock. And quite sensible there, because a good period of pressure from Bristol City, and Graham just slowing the game down. Comes out now left-hand side to Paul Garner, and he just plays it back to Tony Kenworthy as Mansfield builds slowly. Keith Castles holding the ball, coming back inside his own half so as not to lose possession. So it's Kenworthy, Garner, Graham and Foster in the line at the back, just playing the ball between them. Castles has come into his own half to get the ball. He wants to get it up to the front. None of this messing about at the back for him. Graham now gives it to Kent. They're going to attack down the right-hand side. And if he could have just got past the Bristol marker there, we could have seen a good bit of stuff from Tony Lowry. But now Mansfield Town, halfway into Bristol City's half, down the right-hand side. Graham's going to take the throw. He's looking to see who's moving for him. It looks like going to Kevin Kent or Watmore's run for him. And Graham playing it inside for Danskin. Oh, beautifully brought under control by Danskin just with his instep there. But Kevin Kent couldn't stop it for going in. And it's a Bristol City throw about 10 yards inside their own half on the left-hand side. So we've played 19 minutes here. Still no goals, plenty of action. I think Bristol City possibly had the best of the attacks on goal so far, but Mansfield looking good when they come away. Watmore and Castles looking to break very quickly. So Bristol City with a throw deep in their own half. A long throw it is. Kent going up for that though. Watmore and Bristol City get it away again. Mansfield will build again. But that Graham punt forward broken down, and Bristol City gradually working their way up the left-hand touchline with throws. And they've eventually got the ball into the Mansfield half. What can they do here? Tony Lowry goes in to sort it out, and quite a lot of kicking there from Joe Jordan. Never a play with much finesse, but I don't think that's in the rules of the game. But the referee playing the advantage, giving Mansfield the throw. Castle's coming back for it, bringing it down nicely. But that's a poor ball, and Foster having to go in strongly there. And Joe Jordan is having a word with George Foster, and the referee's going over to have a word with him as well. I don't think it was a bad challenge. Do you think, Martin? I think he went for the ball.
No, I actually think he went for the ball. And considering we're reporting in the Mansfield side, he certainly did go for the ball. But, just on the tactical side, I think that Mansfield now, that they've weathered whatever storm has been thrown at them the first 20, 25 minutes. And now I think it's about time that they try to get possibly a midfielder forward. Because both Castles and Watmore are coming off very nicely. They're controlling the ball and they're laying it back. But now, as the second ball is going to be delivered, there's going to be nobody getting forward into that position. So I think they've got to now, let go of the shackles a little bit. They've weathered the storm. If they can remain pretty tight at the back, then they can try and deliver their own brand of football.
And Danskin looks good when he does get the ball. If he can just flick a ball over the top, you get the feeling that Castles could run through.
Well, I suppose Keith might think that his faster days have gone now, but Danskin looks a very, very strong player, and he's certainly atoned for that earlier mistake, didn't he? Because he's made two crucial tackles, one of which sent Mansfield off in a very good attack, and the other one where he conceded the corner when in a dangerous position. So he's just beginning to get the feel of the game himself.
Such a composed-looking player, and of course he's only 19 years old. Is Jason Danskin joined Mansfield just after they got in the final after being on loan from Everton. But free kick coming in for Bristol City. George Foster sorting it all out the back, as he so often does. Very popular player with Mansfield Town, George Foster, and he really does sort out any dangers at the back. So Bristol City coming forward down the right-hand side. Takes the throw, knocked in by Jordan. Paul Garner doesn't really know where he's going. He's kicked the ball up in the air and just jockeying off there. Three Mansfield players robbing the number nine for Bristol City, Glyn Riley. But he's got the ball back. He's got Gordon Owen, who's looked the best player on the field so far, attacking down the right-hand side. Three Mansfield players coming over. That means they're going to be a bit short in the middle, and quite a few Bristol City players being picked up. And fortunately, it went there to one of the defenders, the number two there, Rob Newman, because if it had gone to an attacker, you felt there could have been danger there for Mansfield Town. So after 22 minutes of this game, the score still Bristol City 0, Mansfield Town 0. I hand you over for the rest of the first half to Andy Knowles.
So goalless in the first half of this first half, and really neither goalkeeper been tested too unduly with a direct shot, as Kevin Hitchcock it is who lands that ball forward just inside the City half of the field, well controlled by Castles inside to Kearney, and the tackle coming in, a thumping tackle from Rob Newman, who looks as though he's injured himself in the process. A very powerfully built man is Rob Newman, Mr. Versatile in this City side. Wears the number two and often plays at fullback, but today playing in midfield and certainly letting one or two of the Mansfield players know of his presence. But the action back with Keith Woff, who's donned a neat line in headwear as he tries to beat off the sun, which is beaming down at the moment. The sun, in fact, going across the ground and disappearing. But a free kick given to Mansfield just inside their own half of the field. Tony Kenworthy shouting men forward. And in fact, George Foster it is who's coming across to take the kick. He's going to take it right foot, looking for Kearney down this left-hand side. The ball up in the air. Owen it is who wins that ball, but Kearney keeps it in. Kearney, level with the 18-yard box, curls the ball in with the outside of his foot. But it's David Moyes, the red-haired central defender, who gets that one clear. As far as Glyn Riley. Riley, just inside his own half, tries to release Llewellyn, but it's a good crunching tackle from Paul Garner that puts that ball out for a throw to Bristol City. Just 3 or 4 yards in from the halfway line, just inside their own half of the field, as City kicking left to right in this first half. Llewellyn just stealing a yard or two as he takes that throw, but it's cut out by the opposite number six, and that of course Tony Kenworthy. Neat footwork by Castles, tries to get that ball down the line, but John McPhail it is who's bringing all his experience of 31 years and several league clubs to bear and putting that ball out. Throw then to Mansfield. They start to work a little move down this left hand side. Kearney down the line looking for Watmore, but Watmore perhaps watching the ball rather than where the action was taking place then, as Moyes dispossessed him. And another ugly little clash there, perhaps one or two nerves still showing, as Kearney and Gordon Owen went for that high ball, and Kearney being called over by referee Alan Gunn, while the number seven, Gordon Owen, lies flat out on the turf. Certainly one or two unseemly little tackles going on at the moment, Martin.
Yeah, well, that's one way, Andy, of getting rid of your danger man. You know, you just go and plunk him in the head, as he, as Owen picks himself up, and Kearney's been talked to with the referee, but he's gone full-bloodedly into that one with the head. Seen a couple of boxers who would have been very proud of that.
Yes, the last time we saw anything like that, it was at Chester, and it left Paul Garner with a double fracture of the cheekbone, but hopefully Gordon Owen will be able to recover. He's getting that magic sponge around the back of his neck at the moment, and perhaps the cold water will get him back on his feet. Yeah, shakes his head and he runs off. Referee Gunn checks that he's okay, and so it's going to be a free kick to City. 10 yards inside their own half, to be taken by the fullback Andy Llewellyn. Man looking forward to playing this year because he had the disappointment of sitting on the substitutes bench in last year's final. Sends this kick high to the edge of the Mansfield box, where Neil Watmore has come back to help out in support, and heads that one out for a throw to be taken level with the 18-yard box. Taken quickly by Owen. It's curled in by Marshall looking for Jordan's head, but it drops neatly to the feet of Mike Graham, and Mansfield looking to play the ball out of danger rather than just kick it out of danger. Lowry onto the halfway line to Castles, back to Kent. Mansfield moving forward quickly now through Kearney and inside left channel, looking to long that ball forward for Castles, but in the end it was McPhail who read that one well, just knocks it back to keeper Woff, and once again another chance of an opening goes begging.
Yeah, Kearney played an impossible ball there, and instead of getting the movement flowing as it was, Mansfield has strung about three or four delightful passes together, and instead of continuing the move by getting the ball wide, as there was a man running wide from him, he played an impossible ball in there to Cassells to try and control. And even if Cassells was able to do that there, there were still about two or three men around him. So that's you can't say it's a sign of nerves now, because he looks as if he has a very delightful left foot himself, Kearney, but he should have just played the simple ball and played it wide.
So it's City moving forward again through Owen, lays a ball into the area, and Newman checks that cross across the goal, but Hitchcock coming out well and diving at the feet as Glyn Riley came in, but Newman creating the danger there, and once again it was Gordon Owen who started that dangerous move with and so Kevin Hitchcock excelling after 27 minutes, and really one of the few occasions when Hitchcock has been called in to show his mettle, and he proved equal to the task on that occasion. He kicks it downfield now, right foot, drops just inside the City half of the field. And Moyes knocks it forward to Danskin. Danskin finds Kearney, Castles with his back to goal. Back to Danskin, just inside the centre circle, lays it to his right, where Graham's available. Graham finds Kent hugging that right touchline. And Lowry doing well to come away from Walsh's tackle, but City coming away with the ball as Marshall down that left-hand side. He's got Riley up in support, he's got Jordan there, but he's pushed that one too far in front, and George Foster able to patrol that ball forward to Graham. Finds Kent, and Mansfield certainly not just kicking the ball anywhere, though at least, Martin, they're trying to play football out of their own box as well.
Yes, they don't look too bad down the right-hand side there when they get a couple of little passes together. But just going back there to that, that was an excellent save by Hitchcock about 5 minutes ago, because it's real, other than the time he's punched the ball after about 10 or 15 minutes, that was his real first proper contact with the ball, and that'll have done him the world of good. It's a great save. But and save from the lad Newman, who's getting himself more forward now, and Mansfield have got to be aware of that. He's wearing a number two in his back for Bristol, but he's getting himself forward into very good attacking positions.
And it's Mansfield.
Turkle inside the Mansfield half. Free kick to Mansfield. Garner down the line looking for Castles. Gets a lucky break there as it bounces off McPhail. Play on, says the referee, as the linesman was put his flag up for some infringement. And indeed it's going to be a corner now, is it, to Mansfield? Keith Castles not looking too happy. In fact, no, he's pulling it back for a free kick. Free kick some just a yard in from this left-hand touchline. Three-quarters of the way into the City half as Garner crosses that ball. It drops for Kenworthy, but Kenworthy can't control. It comes back to Graham. Graham trying to chip forward, but Walsh getting in the way of that and knocking it out for a throw on the far side of the field. The throw to be taken by Mike Graham. Short to Lowry, back to Graham. Graham forward to Watmore. Watmore trying to find Danskin, sold him short. And Newman once again getting in with a timely tackle and finds Walsh. Walsh, top scorer for Bristol City, but playing in midfield this afternoon as the ball is laid wide to this right-hand side where Llewellyn and Owen are combining. They now find Riley. Riley down the line looking for Owen, and Owen gets away from Garner, gets in across, and the ball comes in. It's George Foster who gets there first, and an important tackle that by George Foster, a timely intervention, because Joe Jordan was well and truly on the end of that one. But once again, the danger coming down this right-hand side from Gordon Owen.
Yeah, Owen's problem is that he's got a lot of pace, and Mansfield now have been caught out a couple of times. He's played a short little ball himself, has gone for the return there, and he's just too much pace for the Mansfield defence. And it's difficult. It's very, very difficult when you're dealing with somebody who has got that type of pace, and you know that on a straightforward run, he's probably going to beat you. The best thing to do is try and close the space down.
So it's that man Owen with the corner on this near side, taken to the near post, looking for the number 8, that Gary Marshall, and Marshall way off target with a rather tame header. So half an hour gone, and we're still waiting for the first goal in this Freight Rover final of 1987. The sun once again comes out, as do the chants away to our right from the Mansfield fans. Kevin Hitchcock prepares to take this goal kick, right foot downfield. Drops just inside the City half of the field onto the ginger hair of David Moyes. He knocks it forward, but Kevin Kearney with a neat bit of footwork on the halfway line. Finds Danskin. Danskin looks to his right and picks out Lowry. Lowry just having to check as Kent and Lowry combining down that right-hand side. It's Lowry going forward near the corner flag. He keeps it in possession, pulls it back for Watmore. Watmore inside the area now. Can he turn and pull it back? He goes to the byline. The cross comes over. Castle's trying to keep it in, but the ball just going out. And Mansfield perhaps accused of not getting enough bodies up inside the penalty area on that occasion.
Yeah, I think that's probably right there, Andy. Lowry's done fantastically well down in the corner. He's able to put in a terrific cross, and it's played now to Watmore. Watmore, who's has been a good player with his back to goal, has finally knocked the ball wide, and it's just gone round in the far side of the field. But however, getting back to Mansfield's point, when they do actually play it and get it down, they look a reasonably good side. When they play it long, they become isolated, and I think it's difficult for men to get in support of them.
Lull in the action at the moment, because the ball going out over the far side for a throw to Bristol City midway into their own half of the field, to be taken by their skipper Brian Williams. Williams looking for a long throw over to the halfway line, where Kent gets ahead onto it, and Jordan picks up on the ball as the ball breaks loose. But a good tackle that by Graham. But no, it breaks loose for Marshall. Marshall inside the box now. He's pushed wide by George Foster. He's pushed out of the area and now going back towards the byline, and Foster sticking to his guns well there and sticking to his man and getting a foot in and putting it over for a throw to Bristol City, to be taken by Gary Marshall. Marshall short to Alan Walsh, as Walsh comes forward to Marshall, still on that right hand touchline. As the cross comes over, it's met by Kearney, who knocks it forward only though as far as Llewellyn chipped forward to Newman. Newman finds Owen, once again the little number 7 on this right hand side. He's got Llewellyn in support on the outside, but he has to curl it in left foot. But in the end it's Lowry who, on the edge of the box, who knocks it back as far as Owen. Owen inside looking for Walsh, and it's Lowry with the ball which goes high into the rafters of the stadium almost and disappears, but comes back into play. And in the end, it's Mansfield trying to play their way out of trouble down this right-hand side through Garner and Watmore. Garner goes past Llewellyn, but pushes the ball too strongly forward, and it's cut out by Moyes. And inevitably it's that man Owen cutting inside this time, and now a beautiful ball finds Marshall. Marshall now, as Hitchcock is stranded out of his goal, but Marshall needing far too much time. Mansfield getting men back behind the ball, and Hitchcock rather relieved to see that one land in his hands.
Yeah, another terrific play there, terrific piece of play there by Owen, who's causing quite a few problems. He's played a brilliant ball through, and Marshall is probably just delayed a little bit. He's two or three occasions now Marshall's got clear on that left-hand side of the field, and one with lack of support, and the other one that he was unable to do it on his own, but thankfully for Mansfield the danger's passed.
But Bristol City starting to launch another attack. Alan Walsh looking to send a long ball down that left-hand side to search out Gary Marshall, but far too long a ball that one. Mike Graham able to collect that ball and put it back to Kevin Hitchcock. And Hitchcock rolls it underarm to Mike Graham. The action slowing down a little bit now. Graham once again back to Hitchcock. Just over 10 minutes to go to half-time. Still waiting for the first goal of this final. And both sets of fans basking in the sun, but not with too much incident to talk about in the shape of goalmouth action at the moment. City coming forward over the halfway line. Newman lays it forward to Walsh. Walsh plays it around Lowry looking for Jordan, but it's Danskin who gets a foot in there, plays a neat 1-2 with Watmore, still inside his own half, plays a right foot ball forward, finds Castles. Castles, he's got Watmore forward. Castles plays it wide to this left where he's got Kearney. Kearney with a first time ball, but a poor ball by Kearney and easily cut out by Llewellyn. And Mark Kearney really not able to put his stamp on this game at the moment.
I don't honestly know what he was trying to do there, Andy, because he's got the ball wide, and even he's tried a first time ball in quickly, but there was nobody going to be in there, and he could see that picture for himself. Instead of holding the ball, attempting to take the player on the left hand side of the penalty box and probably cause something from that. I just didn't see what he was trying to do.
Well, now Tony Lowry trying to get something moving for Mansfield down this left-hand side. He's in a tussle with Rob Newman and wins a free kick some 15-20 yards into the City half of the field, just a yard in from this near-side touchline. Free kick quickly taken by Paul Garner. Finds Neil Watmore, but Watmore just pushed off.
That's the type of incident. They got a free kick there, Mansfield, and they had four lads playing in infield, all on mark, and they could have played a short ball in to make players begin to play and believe in themselves. What does he do? Steps up there and plays a 40-yard ball into Cassells, who was being closely marked, and he was going to have to control it. And I don't know, they must think he was going to be a seal or something like that there to try and control the ball. Just play it short here and get everybody into the game.
So Mansfield perhaps just trying to over-elaborate at the moment, but Danskin doing very well indeed in the centre circle there, and a crunching tackle sets Lowry away as Danskin's left writhing on the field in the centre circle, but Lowry feeds Kent on that right-hand touchline. Kent now, he's faced by Williams, gets level with the area, going for the byline, trying to get in across, but Williams sticking to his task well. Kent still with possession, tries to turn past Williams, but in the end runs that one out. And Danskin, in the meantime, has got up rather gingerly and limps away from the action. Billy Dearden waiting to come back on, but instead it's the City coach who's having to come on. Rob Newman looks to have got a knock.
He's been carrying that knock now for about 10 or 15 minutes, I noticed that. But to re-emphasise that, I think Lowry's done exceptionally well first half hour. Not only has he got wide himself on occasions, but he's actually got a couple of crunching tackles in, so he'll be pretty pleased with his own performance here after, 35 minutes in the game?
Yes, Tony Lowry certainly perhaps the most impressive of the midfield trio for Mansfield at the moment. Mark Kearney not really able to get into it, and Jason Danskin showing one or two hard tackles in the midfield, but there has been occasions though, Martin, of the delay in the action at the moment while the Rob Newman receives treatment. There has been occasions when it's looked as though the Watmore-Castles partnership, given the right service, could well provide the goods for Mansfield.
Yeah, I don't doubt their ability to hold the ball up at all, Andy. In fact, I think they're very, very good at that. But it's a matter of if you're sending 30 or 40 yard balls, it's important that you get players pretty close to them so that they're able to knock short balls off, short important balls, and balls that are going to be comfortable for men coming onto. Now they can actually hold the ball up and they can do it, but there's no point in the minute that they control the ball to look to find that they have to play another 50 yard ball back again.
Well, we're back in action now as that free kick taken, and it's all the way back to Keith Woff, the Bristol City keeper.
I just wanted to say to you, it's an easy game up here.
A lot easier playing it up here than down there, isn't it? Keith Woff then, he kicks it right foot downfield. former Peterborough and Sheffield United keeper, joined City on a free transfer and playing in his second final, playing in his first Freight Rover final. Is Joe Jordan, played here many times though. He lays the ball inside for Newman, and Newman lets fly with that shot, which Hitchcock looks a little bit undeterred by. It was obviously got that one covered, but certainly plenty of power behind that drive. He certainly has got a powerful left foot, as Newman.
Yeah, I think Hitchcock's annoyance is at his defenders for allowing Newman to come onto the ball and shoot without being closed down. And from an area of, what, 25 yards out, anybody could score a goal if they're undeterred, in the sense that if nobody comes out to challenge them. And I think Hitchcock doesn't want free shots at goal, that's all.
Newman, we've already seen, has got a powerful shot. Someone else in the City side with a powerful shot is Alan Walsh. We haven't seen that yet. Let's hope we don't, but he can certainly bend a ball as well. He's the free kick specialist for Bristol City. But it's the fullback Andy Llewellyn laying a ball down the line, looking for Joe Jordan, but Tony Kenworthy doing well there to knock that ball forward. It's on the halfway line with Rob Newman. Newman and Kearney tussling for possession. It's Newman who comes away with it, lays it inside to Alan Walsh. Walsh laying the ball forward to Newman. Newman covering an awful lot of ground. And in the end it goes to Marshall on that left-hand side, and he's tackled unfairly, says the linesman, by Kevin Kent. And perhaps another example there of a striker coming to help out in defence and doing it rather clumsily.
Yeah, it's always a difficult thing when attackers get back into position like that there. I don't think goalkeepers like to see that their outside right's making the last-ditch tackle on them.
Marshall with the free kick, high to the centre of the box where Jordan's jumping for it, but that one loops over the top of the crossbar. George Foster out-jumped on that occasion. But it's interesting that I think Foster and Kenworthy certainly seem to be enjoying a fair share of the match in opposition to Joe Jordan and Glyn Riley. It's about even Stevens at the moment, that little contest.
Yes, well, I assumed that Bristol City would just bombard the Mansfield goal area with high balls in, and I thought to begin with actually that's what they were doing. When they looked forward and saw Owen Mart, then their second alternative was just to thump the ball in. But the Mansfield defence have coped with it well. It's that's not their danger.
Danger now from Alan Walsh. He lays the ball over to this far side. Gordon Owen trying to keep it in and almost succeeded, but that just ran out of play, and so it's another goal kick to Mansfield Town.
They're just finishing there. They look quite comfortable actually dealing with anything high that's been knocked in, and certainly if they don't get the first one, they seem to be able to get the loose ball away. But it's the danger from the flank areas, especially on this right hand side, that's their problem as Owen takes them on.
Might be something that Ian Greaves and Billy Dearden will be thinking of tightening up on in the second half, perhaps bringing midfield man Mark Kearney back a little bit to perhaps quell the danger of Gordon Owen. But it's Mark Kearney who's taking a throw at this moment just inside the City half of the field. Just over 3.5 minutes to go of normal time in this first half, but a little bit of injury time to be added on by referee Alan Gunn as the action switches to that right hand side. Kevin Kent and Tony Lowry playing a neat 1-2, and Kent running into trouble in the shape of Glyn Riley, and Riley in turn passing it to the yellow shirt of Jason Danskin. Danskin inside to Kearney. Kearney centre field laying a long ball looking for Tony Lowry, but it's cut out by Brian Williams. Williams forward for Joe Jordan, but Jordan a good 3, 4, 5 yards offside on that occasion.
Yeah, Kearney's given the ball away again, but this time I don't blame him actually, because he was looking for Lowry to make that little bit of space so that he could angle the pass down there, and I think Lowry was feeling a wee bit tired and decided that he'd not show for that particular instance. But it's getting back to Kearney. Kearney's playing on the left hand side, and it's a difficult role to play because you're having to try and get wide yourself to give width to the team, and I've got the feeling, not having seen him play too often, he's probably a bit like myself in the sense that he doesn't want to play extremely wide in the left hand side. I didn't want to play wide in the right simply because I probably couldn't do it.
It's also an extremely lonely place when the ball's not coming to your feet, but it's coming to Gordon Owen's feet at this moment. He's tearing away down this right-hand side. Castles comes back, but it's a poor deliverance from Gordon Owen straight into the arms of Kevin Hitchcock, so the danger thwarted once again. But interesting to see Keith Castles coming all the way back to put off Gordon Owen on that occasion. Keith Castles desperately wants a winner's medal today.
It's a long way forward then after you've made that 30 or 40 yard dash.
But there's only a couple of minutes to go to half time. Perhaps he's thinking of his half time cup of tea, but just the right time for Mansfield to score, and certainly not the right time to concede a goal. At the moment, though, it's Garner laying the ball forward over the halfway line to the feet of Watmore. He's having to come back, though, and lay it back to his skipper, George Foster. Foster right foot downfield, looking for Kevin Kent. Kent inside to Watmore, back to the feet of Kent. The action now just on that right-hand side of the field as Lowry lays it wide to Mike Graham. Graham winning a throw just inside the Bristol City half of the field as once again the sun comes out. Beautiful cricketing weather at the moment as the throw comes in from Graham. Finds Kent. Kent Watmore swings it inside looking for Castles. Castles jumps above Llewellyn. And Castles and Kearney getting in each other's way there. And referee Gunn spotting an infringement and a free kick now for Mansfield Town in a very awkward position for Bristol City. Just 3, 4, 5 yards outside the Bristol City area. Keith Castles wants to take it quickly. Four men in the Bristol City wall. Jason Danskin standing over the ball. So too is Mark Kearney. Is it going to be the right foot of Danskin or the left foot of Kearney? Kearney runs over the ball. Danskin tries to chip that one forward. It hits the head of McPhail. The danger not over, though, for City as Moyes heads that one forward to Jordan. And Jordan brings it down under control. Very cool, very calmly. Plays it inside to Moyes. And that little bit of danger thwarted. As the ball played forward to Riley on the halfway line, he was fouled by Tony Kenworthy. As we move into injury time in this first half, it's still Bristol City 0, Mansfield Town 0. As we're in injury time in the first half, the free kick to be taken on the halfway line, just inside the halfway line, in fact, by the Bristol City skipper, Brian Williams. Williams left foot, he's got four men forward inside the box. The last desperate throw by City at the end of this first half as Kenworthy forced to put that one behind. So perhaps this will be the last desperate throw for Bristol City in this first half. A cheer goes up away to our left as Gordon Owen goes trotting over to that far side. He's going to curl this ball in. Marshall's there, so's Newman at the near post. But it's headed up looking for Newman, and in fact it was Moyes who got a header in there, and Hitchcock diving to his right, clutched that one well, threw it out to Kenworthy, got the ball back, and Hitchcock relieving the danger and sending a long kick downfield deep into the Bristol City half of the field, where Andy Llewellyn plays that all the way back to his keeper Keith Woth. Kevin Hitchcock, who could find himself with one or two problems with the sun in the second half. Keith Woth not really been tested because of it in the first 45 minutes. And now it's City moving forward once again. Already a minute and a half into injury time in this first half as Owen is stopped in his tracks by a good tackle from Garner. Finds Castles. Castles goes tumbling to the ground as he laid that ball inside to Danskin. And Llewellyn it was who stopped Castles in his tracks. Perhaps there might have been a case there for playing advantage, Martin.
I would have thought so, really, yes. Especially at the last minute there, Mansfield probably could have done with the advantage. However, the referees decided otherwise, and who are we to complain?
The referee, Alan Gunn, having a word with Andy Llewellyn, so giving Bristol City a chance to get men back, and plenty of men back in white shirts they have too, as Paul Garner prepares to take this free kick, and immediately the linesman's flag goes up. Mark Kearney and Kevin Kent both caught offside. And could that be the last throw of this first 45 minutes? In fact, 47 minutes, 18 seconds on the watch so far in this first half. The band in the tunnel away to our left, waiting to get into the action. But it's Keith Woth who's in the action at the moment. He sends a right foot kick downfield, knocked on by Gary Marshall, looking for Joe Jordan. And almost a suicide ball there from Mike Graham, almost putting Glyn Riley in possession, but Kevin Hitchcock, once again, very alert and very quick to see the half chance. And he's hanging on to the ball at the moment. Lets a kick go downfield, where Danskin tries to knock it forward, but got it off the wrong part of his head, and only succeeded in knocking it back towards Kevin Hitchcock's goal. Hitchcock sends it forward to Garner. I think both sets of players be glad to hear that half-time whistle go at the moment. Castles tries to find Kearney, but misplaced passes from both sides at the moment as Danskin with a chance to create something for Mansfield. He finds the feet of Watmore. Watmore back to Lowry, to Kearney, just over the halfway line. as Lowry tries to come away with it, but he's just nudged off the ball by Alan Walsh, and it's Marshall able to come forward over that halfway line. Marshall almost caught in possession by Kevin Kent. It's Marshall and Graham in a tussle. Looks as though Mike Graham's going to win that ball and wins the free kick. Some 3.5 minutes of injury time has been played in this first half. Certainly the fans given their money's worth this afternoon. Play on, says the referee, as free kick still has to be taken as we move on to 4 minutes of injury time played in this first half. George Foster it is to take the free kick away on that far side, on the right-hand side, level with his own penalty area, just over the halfway line. It's Moyes who knocks that ball forward, where Danskin gets on the end of it, finds Castles. Castles on his own on that right-hand side. He's got Kent going outside him, lays the ball inside, looking for Kearney, but it was nowhere near Kearney in the end, and Newman getting back to knock that ball forward. But as the ball's played wide, it's Castles once again tussling for possession with Walsh. Walsh lays it forward to Marshall on that left-hand side, and Williams, long ball down the line, looking to search out Riley, and in the end it's Mike Graham who puts that one over. Almost 5 minutes of injury time played in this first half, and there goes the half-time whistle. 4 minutes and 48 seconds, the referee playing of injury time in this first half. The half-time score, Bristol City 0, Mansfield Town 0. And Martin, your impressions of the first 49 minutes.
Well, I suppose a neutral observer would say that it's not been a classic game. That makes absolutely no difference to Mansfield or Bristol City. However, the Mansfield lads must think now, right, OK, get in there at half-time, feel that they've got the Wembley atmosphere out of their system. Wembley's going to remain the same, it's going to be the same crowd again, it's going to be the same people cheering. So second half, they must think to themselves, right, OK, I can last this game. I know that I've got this feeling that I'm not going to get tired. I can survive for the 90 minutes. It was always a feeling I had that you worried about whether you want to get cramped in the first 45 minutes. You still want it to continue on, but there you were, laden down with cramp. So the Mansfield players now will be delighted. Actually, they've gone in 0-0. Bristol City have probably had the better of the exchanges in the sense that they've probably played a wee bit more football. But Mansfield, that won't worry. It's 0-0. Mansfield can still win the game. And if they can get a wee bit closer, when they do develop their play, get their midfield players a wee bit closer to the two front lads so that they don't have so far to twist and turn with the ball. And I honestly think, other than that, they're in the game with a terrific chance. They're coping well enough at the back with anything tossed in high, they're no problem at all, I feel. But their problem is down in the touchlines when Owen, especially Owen, has got to work.
Thanks very much, Martin. We'll be hearing more from Martin in the second half, but let's bring in for his half-time thoughts Stan Searle, who's been watching with great interest and, of course, used to watching Mansfield Town over 900 matches. Stan, the first half, 0-0 on the score sheet. Not too many direct shots for either keeper to save, but perhaps Bristol City just shading it on points on the first half.
Well, yes, indeed, but I think this first 45 minutes has been pretty well what we've seen from Mansfield in their away performance and throughout this season. They've kept it very, very tight. I've been interested in listening to Martin's comments about the midfield, but I think the main concern of Mansfield, remember, they're not a great side. They haven't got perhaps the experience of the Joe Jordans of this world, but they do tend to keep a defence very much on the mind, certainly in the first half, certainly in the first quarter of the second half. And then I begin to expect the Stags to move forward. Kearney in particular, since the arrival of Danskin, has been given a much more forward role, and he scored 3 or 4 goals since the arrival of the ex-Everton youngster, going on to the far post on the left flank of Mansfield, and really doing quite a job. But of course in this first half his distribution's not been good, and he's not been coming in from the flank to the far post, although he's not had a great deal of opportunity, as he has done in some of the away matches this season. I think we tend to forget that these are third and fourth division sides, not first and second division sides, and perhaps don't have the skill in all the departments as you might expect from a Tottenham or a Coventry City or what have you in the first and second division. And I think Mansfield Town fans, who are of course here, some 20,000 of them, will be quite happy with what they've seen in this first 45 minutes. Yes, certainly Bristol have played some nice football, but Mansfield on occasion have looked dangerous going forward. Obviously the final pass misdirected, not made, or they found the strikers crowded out. But I think this is the pattern that they've been showing all season, and they'll be looking for the odd break later on in the second half, and I think you'll see them come a little stronger towards the end of the 90 minutes, as they usually do in their away matches.
Thanks very much, Stan. Well, let's take a well-earned breather here at Wembley, and as we listen to the band, we're going to reflect on former Cup glory days for the Stags. Earlier this week, Jeremy popped along to the Travellers' Rest at Sutton in Ashfield to chat over old times with the mine host, the Stags' record-breaking defender, Sandy Pate, and with him, another member of the Mansfield team of the 60s, striker Dudley Roberts. Sandy was the first to offer his reflections.
The earliest memories of a cup tie playing for the Stags was in 1967-68, I think it was, when we played Toloff, which many of the supporters will remember with horror. We hadn't a clue where we were going. When we got there, we thought we'd ended up in the North Pole. We couldn't get the coach down to the ground, and we all trooped off the coach with travelling rugs around, and we made our way from 300 yards down the road onto this tiny ground. And I think the score was 1-1 at half time, if I remember right. In the second half, we took a pounding and lost the tie 5-1. But then things began to improve when we drew the same team the following year at our own ground and won 4-1. And then that led to better things, as Dudley will recall.
Most memorable game, I think, was the West Ham game, when we took on the three England internationals from the World Cup. That was a fabulous game to play in for a start, but playing against them was even better. And scoring one of the first, got the opening goal against them. And we ended up beating them 3-0, with goals from Ray Keeley and Nick Sharkey.
It must have been a big shock to have beaten the sort of giants from London.
Yes, we thought we were in for a chance, but the names they had in their side, they were nearly all internationals. And we just went after them, and it come right on the night. The goal seemed to go in. And I think it's probably the best game up there, while I was there anyway, in the 7 or 8 years I was there. A lot of the older supporters come and see us. Whenever they see us, they talk about that game. They remember that game. But probably this game at Wembley on Sunday will take over from that now.
I think the other game in that round, Dudley, if you can recall, the Sheffield United match. I mean, at that time, Sheffield United had a top-class team. Good enough to keep Tony Curry, the former England midfield international, on the touchline. Tony was sub that day, and we were 2-1 up when they actually brought him on. But I think that was one of the best games that I ever played in personally. You know, I think Gil Rees, the left winger who played for Wales at that time, and we had a good old tussle out on the flanks. But no, I recall that game with a bit of pride, really. A little bit unfortunate to play less than the quarter final, because they had a strong back four and Peter Shilton in goal, and I think they went right through to the cup final without conceding a goal. We feel if we could have gotten through that tie, there was a fair chance of going to Wembley, as we were drawn to play West Brom in the semi-finals, who were probably the weakest team left in at that time. But yeah, I think in 69 we fancied our chances a bit. This is why this game on Sunday, it brings back a lot of memories. We felt that we were nearly there, and for the present players to be there, it must be a terrific feeling. I know how we felt that, when we got to the quarter final, we thought we were nearly at Wembley, even at that stage. But it's a great thing for the players on Sunday. I think we both feel that we would love to be out there playing.
To be honest, I haven't seen much of the present Mansfield side, but I think the side we had then would have given them a hell of a game. They've all moved away now. I know there's two or three still living round about here. There's big Stuart Bowman, Kirkby, Sandy, obviously in the pub here.
That's it's one of the unfortunate things, that you lose touch with former teammates, but it would be nice if we could all have got together and gone down in a coach to Wembley. I should think the lads who have played in the past for the Stags will be thinking about them and wishing them all the luck in the world.
Dudley, of course, there was another sort of historic game in the Cup, was when Liverpool came to Field Mill.
Yes, that was in the League Cup. I think it was the year after the 69 run. We played Liverpool at home. I think it was in the second round of the Cup. And they come down with all the stars. I remember very well, late in the second half, scoring a goal. I started on a lap of honour. And for some reason, he just allowed it, the referee. And we were very unfortunate not to win there. But we went back to Anfield to play on there. And that was a hell of a game. Hell of a game in front of 36,000. And I can remember now that we were winning 2-1 with about 4 minutes to go. And the referee gave him a penalty. And they ended up beating us in extra time.
Don't forget, though, I think Peter Thompson hit the bar four times in the first in the first 20 minutes, didn't he, at Field Mill? So we're a little bit lucky to get off the hook there. But we felt definitely, I think we were robbed at Anfield.
With the current Mansfield team then having a run and you being a publican, have you had a lot of people coming in and talking about the game?
Oh, yes. The first reaction was, are we going to run a coach? And I think we ended up with 100 and odd people going down from the Puppier. I'm a bit sorry I'll not be with them as we're going on a family holiday. We haven't been abroad for 3 years, so I can't really do much about it. Bristol were up here, a couple of months ago and lost 2-0. And looking at the teams on paper, there's not an awful lot of difference between them. But I think the lad Castle's up front, I think he'll make a difference. I think he's a fair player, probably better than third division class, and I should think that he'll win the tie.
The two main clubs I've played for are Coventry and Mansfield. With Coventry winning last week, it was a tremendous occasion. And I just hope Mansfield can do the same this week.
He arrived on the scene 20 years too early, that was his trouble. He'd have been down at Wembley 2 weeks in a row. But I know he had a good weekend last week when he was invited down by Coventry City, by the club, and he had a tremendous weekend. Let's hope that this weekend is going to be celebrating again.
That was Sandy Fate and Dudley Roberts with some reminiscing about the old times, the old cup days for Mansfield Town. Hope you enjoyed reminiscing along with them. I know Stan Searle certainly did alongside me. And right on cue, the Bristol City side coming out away to my left. Let me just tell you the attendance here at Wembley this afternoon, 58,586, so that's a record for the Freight Rover final. Certainly beats last year's attendance, and the receipts, £324,000, and in fact £324,592, so 58,500 people here at Wembley this afternoon, and at the moment enjoying the Romford band with their display as they head towards the tunnel. It's the Bristol City team who've come out first, and waiting still for Mansfield Town to come out. Just while we do, Stan Searle, one thing we didn't ask you for is we've seen 45 minutes of football. It's 0-0. Which way do you think it's going to go?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see it go into extra time and penalties at the rate we're going on. Remember that, of course, Bristol, we've met Bristol twice this season and have yet to score a goal against the Stags. I hope I'm not uncrossing my fingers too early. Certainly a couple of fine saves by Hitchcock, or one interception by Hitchcock and a good save by the goalkeeper perhaps prevented a goal for City, but I'm quite confident that Mansfield can get through this one. It follows very much the pattern of the game at Ashtongate, which of course Andy was there on that night, and the Stags were certainly under far more pressure than they'd been in the first 45 minutes, and they kept a clean sheet and pinched a point very much against the odds. And of course, remember, the Stags underdogs this afternoon. But fairly confident, I think, the way that the Stags have got to this final. Remember, they've played up virtually all their preliminary rounds away from home, and some excellent results, particularly the one at Middlesbrough and the one at Bury. Remember, Bury had beaten Mansfield 3-2 at Field Mill a couple of weeks before, but Ian Greaves, a master tactician, devised some New thoughts on Bury, and it certainly worked. 2-1 the win there, and then a most marvellous win at Middlesbrough, who virtually threw everything bar the stand at the Stags at Ayresome Park, but then fell to a Mark Kearney penalty in the second half. And of course the two Northern Area finals, I think a lot of people expected Chester to come away with something from Field Mill, but they didn't. And although Mansfield badly hit in the early stages of the first half, and a goal and an injury, they still managed to hang on, and here we are this afternoon.
And we're just about to get underway with the second half, so for commentary once again, Jeremy Nicholas.
Yes, thanks a lot, Andy. They're just about to get underway. There goes the whistle. Keith Castles get us underway in the second half of the Freight Rover Trophy Final. Mansfield Town against Bristol City. 0-0 in the first half. Quite an exciting first half. Very physical, certainly, but no goals. And the ball safely back to Keith Woff in the Bristol City goal, which gives everyone a chance to get used to the noise which greets them as they came back out on the pitch. 58,000 fans here, which is a record for the Freight Rover final. The previous best last year, Bristol City against Bolton. 54,000 saw that game, so it's getting more and more popular each year as clubs realise it's a chance to get to Wembley. Bristol City knocking the ball back to Woff again. No real action yet in this second half. An explosion coming from the left-hand side. Bristol City fans think just a firecracker let off. And Woff pumping the ball forward now into the centre circle. Foster, a little push on Jordan. There's been quite a bit of pushing between those two, but the referee waves play on. Bristol City attacking down the right hand side with Gordon Owen, who for me was probably the best player on the field in the first half. He thought he had a bit of support for him there. He played a lovely little ball down the right hand flank, but nobody there. So a throw to Mansfield Town, and getting the ball forward. Kearney up, Castles up, but the ball coming back, and Danskin sorting it out, just laying it back there. And Watmore with his back to goal, slowing play down, plays it back to Danskin, and now they switch it to the right hand side. Mike Graham putting it forward for Kevin Kent, but it's gone out for a Bristol City throw, and the captain Brian Williams will take it. He finds Jordan, and whenever Jordan gets the ball, George Foster never more than a few feet away. And George Foster that time flooring Joe Jordan, who rubs himself, gets back up, and Bristol City have a free kick just inside the Mansfield half on the left-hand side. Brian Williams, the captain, with the captain's armband on his left arm, ready to take the kick. Castle's coming across. He doesn't look 10 yards away. Williams waits for him to move back. He doesn't, but he takes the kick anyway, pumped into the box, and Foster, good header there out of defence, but there's only Castle's up, and he's on the left-hand side, and it went further left than he was anyway. Round the right-hand side, and Riley for the corner flag. The ball coming in, but no trouble for Hitchcock at all because it's gone behind his goal. But plenty of cheering going on there. I can't quite see why, but Joe Jordan pointing at something or other, having a bit of a moan. But Hitchcock has the ball, and he prepares to take this kick. He plays it short to Paul Garner. Garner knocking it back to Hitchcock. He's waiting for everyone to get right upfield. There's only Castles, Watmore, and Kevin Kent in the Bristol City half at the moment. Mansfield now getting up in numbers. Pumped down the left-hand side. Castles tries to knock it back, but it's gone for a throw to Mansfield Town. Paul Garner to take it about 5 yards inside the Bristol City half. Paul Garner, good to see him in this final, because it looked absolutely no way, the specialist said, would he be able to play at Wembley. He's made a remarkable comeback. Mansfield Town coming forward. Danskin's got the ball. They always look as though they could do something when Danskin has it, but this time he just knocks it back for Mike Graham, who tries to find Kevin Kent, finds Lowry. He's had a very good first half as Lowry. Watmore plays it back to Lowry, but knocked back to Keith Woff, and Bristol City slowing it right down. So just knocked forward again now. Foster in once again. Jordan tries to get through, can't get through there. And now Mansfield Town coming forward again. Tony Lowry jiggling his way through, if there is such a word, but he couldn't find Watmore on that occasion, as he was blocked by McPhail. The ball coming forward now, though, for Bristol City, and Foster, another biting challenge, not on Jordan this time, and on Riley, and Riley wriggling about as though he wasn't too happy about that challenge. Bristol City coming forwards with Gary Marshall down the left-hand side. Graham jockeys off him, giving defenders time to get back. Mansfield back in some numbers now. Tries to find Jordan in the box, but good play there by Paul Garner, getting it away. Finds Kearney. Mansfield looked like they could have turned attacking defence, but Castells couldn't find it there. And another crunching tackle from behind on Joe Jordan by George Foster. And this time I think the referee's going to have a word with him. No, he's not. George Foster's going to have to watch it, Martin, because he's crunching Joe a little bit too much at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think we'll mind too much about that there. Joe's done plenty of crunching in his life, and it's about time he got some of it back again. That's about four really terrific challenges that Foster, and that's the first time he's actually been blown up on them, but put in four crunching tackles there. And I just noticed that that Joe has taken about 2.5 minutes to get up now, so he's not relishing it at all.
He's not. So the seal of approval to the crunching tackle from Martin O'Neill. So a free kick now to Bristol City, 10 yards out on the right-hand side, pumped in, but Kevin Kent getting the ball away, and Bristol City, that wasn't really going to anyone at all, that cross. Kevin Kent in plenty of space, able to get it away. Mansfield players all in their own half, being pinned back as Williams, the last line of defence for Bristol City, shoves it in. And that time, one of the Bristol City players, I think it was possibly McPhail, looked like he was trying to take Foster's head off with his elbow, but the ball's come out now to Kevin Kent, who's down that left-hand side on his own, holding the ball up. He's got Watmore in the middle, and Castles is free on the far side if he can find him. And a very important header coming there from John McPhail, because Castles and Watmore were both on the blind side. This time he's found Castles. Is he offside? No. Castles running for the right-hand corner flag. He's got Graham behind him if he wants in. He tries to go past the defender. Castles holding it up well, throws it in, and the goalkeeper caught it because he thought it had gone behind for a corner, but in actual fact the referee says the goalie pulled it over the line, and it's a corner to Mansfield Town, their first of the second half on the right hand flank. Castles is going to leave it for Kevin Kent, and all of a sudden we've got plenty of yellow and blue banners waving in the crowd behind the goal, underneath the scoreboard where all the Mansfield Town fans are. Kevin Kent will take a long one. He's got Graham here. He pumps it in the middle for Danskin, who slides, puts it in. What a cheeky attempt that was, and just kicked just in front of the line, because I think the goalie was unsighted there. A cheeky attempt from Danskin. He looked like he was going to blast it, but he placed it with his side foot low to the goalie's left, and if there hadn't been a man just in front of him, could have been a goal, Martin.
Yeah, this has been a great start for Mansfield. They've become much more positive the second half here, and I honestly think this has all been led by Foster deciding to get a few challenges in, and Bristol City have shirked one or two of the responsibilities. And the Mansfield, if they could maintain this, I know it's very difficult to maintain this here for another 40 minutes, but it's been a very, very encouraging start.
And the ball just played wide down there for Danskin to run onto, but safely back to Woff in the Bristol City goal. As Stan was saying at half time, Mansfield like to come out in the first half, stake out their territory, and just settle down. And then the second half, they really do come out and attack. And now the ball with Bristol City captain Brian Williams taking the throw about 5 yards inside Mansfield half. Gets the ball back, chips it forward, and good ball for Walsh there. And coming out wide, Mansfield's no real cover on the right-hand side. Paul Garner going across now. It's just about level with the Mansfield area. The ball pumped in the box now, and that's going to be Hitchcock's ball. What a confident player he's looked. Joe Jordan made a sort of token sideways jump there. He was never going to get anywhere near it. And Martin, Joe Jordan looks short of a couple of paces to me.
Yeah, I think so. I think Joe's seen the best of his days. I think he should be up here in the commentary box with myself.
Do you fancy yourself over 100 yards against Joe Jordan these days?
No, I'm afraid I couldn't even beat the missus over 100 yards. My knees have gone.
Oh, you better not beat the missus. Right, so the ball coming back to Bristol City, attacking down that right-hand side now. Tony Kenworthy just putting the ball into touch when he could have possibly done something a bit more adventurous with it, but he's played safe there. And Gordon Owen going to take the throw. He's had a good game as Gordon Owen for Bristol City. The ball pumped in now, and that's danger because there are two men free there for Bristol City, and it was Gary Marshall who went up, and the ball, Hitchcock glad to see that go about a foot wide of his left hand post. He's doing a lot of pointing and shouting at his defenders, possibly feels, Martin, that they could have picked up those two.
Yeah, well, that was a great chance for Bristol City, but that was just a lapse in concentration by Mansfield. I actually thought that Kenworthy did the right thing. He was under a wee bit of pressure, so he puts the ball out and giving Mansfield time to regroup. That's exactly what they didn't do, and allowed a free cross to come in, and Bristol City would be annoyed with themselves that they haven't gone one in front. But a let off for Mansfield. I hope they can capitalise on it.
And I'm sure Hitchcock will have sorted his defenders out there with a lot of Cockney abuse to them. He's from London, started his career with Barking before moving to Nottingham Forest, and then went on loan to Mansfield Town and eventually joined them. Well, the ball coming forward now from Foster, Watmore chasing it, but he was never going to get there. Always going to be beaten to that ball by John McPhail, and it goes back to Keith Woff. So we've had about 8.5 minutes in this second half. It's Bristol City 0, Mansfield Town 0. The game's settling down, and I think Mansfield possibly having the better of this second half so far. Bristol City doing slightly the better of the sides in terms of attacks in the first half. Bristol City coming forward, Jordan and Marshall misunderstanding each other. Jordan just having a few words with Tony Kenworthy. Probably saying how tired he is, Martin, I should imagine. Ball pumped forward then from Hitchcock, finding Castles, who backheads it, and it goes back to Keith Woff, and a bit of pace going out of the game. It's just going from one goalkeeper to another at the moment. McPhail knocking it back to Woff again. The winners of this Freight Rover Trophy final will get £5,000, £3,500 to the losers, and each side also gets a Sherpa van, which in actual fact did a lap of honour before the game kicked off. And very nice they look too, presented by Freight Rover, the sponsors today. Brian Williams pumping the ball forward then for Bristol City. A cross coming for that, Mike Graham. Gary Marshall, he's looked pretty good coming down the opposite flank to Owen. This half pumps the ball into the middle, and a foot to that by Kenworthy. And Mike Graham on the ball now. In fact, it was Lowry getting that ball away. But it goes for a throw to Mansfield halfway in their own half, and Mike Graham will take that for them. And the ball boy's thrown it over his head, which was quite a feat for him because he's only a little lad. He threw it as hard as he could, and it went right over the head of Mike Graham. So a marvellous climax to the season for Mansfield Town. Small club from the third division, won promotion of course last year, and who'd have thought they'd have been at Wembley if you'd have asked anyone at Mansfield a year ago. It started this season winning the county club, beating Nottingham Forest, of course, big rivals from the first division to start the season. And if they could end the season with a Freight Trophy win, what a result that would be. So now it's Bristol City who have the ball, but robbed by Kevin Kent. And Kevin Kent's on his own if he can only get up, but he was still, from that sliding tackle, he was still down on the ground. And Danskin pumping the ball back to Hitchcock. Been a fairly bitty start to the second half. Plenty of...
And just as I speak, the Mansfield lad has just given the ball away and allowed Bristol City to get back into the attack again.
So Bristol City attacking down the right hand side. It really could be true. To beat, he gets a cross in, and Kent has scored. Kent has scored. Mansfield Town has scored. They've gone mad behind the goal. Kevin Kent goes over to the fans over on that far side and salutes them. What a beautiful goal, but it was good work from Castles down that left hand side, went round McPhail, found the ball in the middle to Kent, and Kent was always going to score because he'd got away from his marker and just put it low to the left hand side of Woff in the Bristol City goal. And the Mansfield Town fans going absolutely wild away to our right, yellow and blue banners waving in the breeze as Kevin Kent has slotted that in. And I was just saying that they do well to keep it on the ground, and that's what they did, because they put it to Castles, who went down that left-hand side. McPhail looked like he had the measure of him, but Castles went round him. A good low cross in, and a marvellous goal there from Kevin Kent. Good start for Mansfield there.
Whoa, well, that's fantastic. Kent has done superbly well, but give all credit to Castles, who decided on the one-to-one, listen, I'm going to take this man on. He took him left-hand side, and he's got the cross in. But even then, Kent was second favourite to get the ball. But he steamed in it, just realising that Castles was going to get the initial touch through. And he's done brilliantly. He's left-footed the ball into the net. It's a great goal, just a great fill-up for Mansfield.
Excellent stuff from Kent, really showing his pace there. He's been ever present in the Mansfield side this season, so fitting really that he should open the scoring here this afternoon. Bristol City 0, Mansfield Town 1, the Stags in the lead at Wembley. And they're going forward again. Let's hope they can retain their composure, because let's not forget what happened at Wembley in the week when England went a goal up and a minute later Brazil equalised. And of course in the cup final, Spurs went one up. And just 7 minutes later, Coventry equalised. So let's hope Mansfield Town can just stake themselves out and hang on to this lead and not give away a goal. And Jordan's through as I speak. And well played, Kevin Hitchcock. He took the ball off Joe Jordan's head there because Jordan was through. And I could see it happening then. I could see an equaliser coming there. And beautiful play from Hitchcock to take the ball off Jordan's head. He had his usual moan about it, but Bristol City coming forward. Williams pumping it in, headed away there by Kenworthy. And Castles, who did so well in that goal, now getting the ball forward to Watmore. Watmore coming forward, Kenson Castles, but the move breaks down, but they're still Lowry's got the ball back now. And Mansfield Town, if they can get two here, it really could be crucial. Pump the ball forward, Castles going for it. Here's Kent, the goal scorer, going up with Brian Williams, the Bristol City captain, and a free kick to Bristol City. And while I just get my voice back, Martin.
The referee has done brilliantly there, because for to all intents and purposes that most other referees may have given a penalty, but Hitchcock has definitely played the ball, and Joe Jordan looks up begrudgingly there at the referee. But there was terrific decision as far as I'm concerned. But the feeling there that Mansfield, who have gone and got the goal, and just go to sleep for that minute or two, and it happens to all sorts of sides, and it's amazing just for that minute there that they could be back in level terms at a game that they could go on to win now quite convincingly. And just as I speak, the Mansfield lad has just given the ball away and allowed Bristol City to get back into the attack again.
So Bristol City attacking down the right hand side. It's Owen, who's did so well in the first half, putting it forward to Jordan, but Foster's had the measure of Jordan all afternoon. And you just listen to those Mansfield Town fans singing now as Jason Danskin rushing towards him with the ball. He's got Castles to the right, Watmore to the left, or he's got the easy ball to Mike Graham if he wants it to. Danskin holds it up, waits for Castles to go on to run. Castles into the box, puts the ball back to John McPhail there. By John McPhail, back to Woff in the Bristol City goal. So Mansfield Town really inspired at the moment. Castles saying well done to Kevin Kent for getting that ball through to him there. And Bristol City attacking forward as George Foster gets the ball to Castles. Listen to those Mansfield Town fans sing. Tony Lowry, what a good game he's had, attacking down the right-hand side. Did the ball go out of play? He says no. He's attacking the defender. Watmore's in the middle if he can find the cross. Comes in, there's a man at the far post. It's Kearney, and it comes away. And Danskin, what can he do? He's lost the ball, and Bristol City come away. And there was a chance there for Mansfield Town. If the ball had found Kearney, he could have blasted it in at the far post. But Bristol City coming forward now, down that right-hand side. Gordon Owen on the ball. Plays it back to the number six for Bristol City, Alan Llewellyn, who pumps it in to Jordan. And once again, Hitchcock punching away this time, beating Joe Jordan. Kent gets it to Castles. Castles knocks it on for Watmore to chase, but John McPhail plays it back.
It's really exciting stuff now for the last 5 or 10 minutes. I think it's been excellent. I noticed there that Mansfield are warming up a substitute. But Kent must be feeling his head is right in the clouds now. To score at Wembley and to watch that ball bulge in the net, is what a feeling he must have. And he's going around there as if, well, if he'll think that one goal will be doing it. And if his is the goal that wins the cup final, well, my word, he'll be the toast of Mansfield forever.
And young Ian Stringfellow, in fact, is the sub that's warming up. I don't know who could be coming off, because they're all playing like heroes out there at the moment. Castles is down. Maybe he's taking a knock. Maybe it's him that's going to be coming off, because he's in offside position at the moment. Cass has gone down. But no chance for Billy Dearden to come on, because the referee's playing on Woff getting the ball forward. And Joe Jordan with Foster to his back to him. And once again, Foster's got the measure of Joe Jordan. The Scottish international, ex-Leeds United and Manchester United, having no joy against George Foster, who really missed a Mansfield at the moment. Kearney going forward. Castles is still down. I think it's probably Stringfellow for Castles we could well see soon, because Cass looks like he's not going to play any further part in this game. And that's sad. Player of the year, Keith Castles. Scored plenty of important goals, none more important than the one in the first leg of the Northern final against Chester City at Field Mill. Been a long season for Mansfield Town, their 58th game this season. Three players have played in all of those games: Kevin Hitchcock, Kevin Kent and Keith Castles. And it's Keith Castles who's lying down on his back now, holding his head as Billy Dearden manipulates what looks like his ankle at the moment, and the referee looking very concerned. And Ian Stringfellow warming up. Could the youngster be playing at Wembley?
Actually, the break couldn't have come at a more important time for Mansfield, because they'll have time to grab their second breath. They'll be able to talk to each other now and say to themselves, listen here, let's keep it together. Let's do exactly what we've been doing before. And because Bristol are looking very, very ragged at the moment, there is a possibility that Mansfield could kill the game off. But the lovely thing about it is this here, that they're going in very determinedly. I noticed there that Graham, the right back, has made a ferocious challenge here on the right-hand side with big determination, and that they're walking tall at the moment.
So Keith Castle's up and playing at the moment, and he's running, still looks like he's slightly affected by that, but it's going to be a throw to Bristol City deep in their own half. Well, all the omens have been good for Mansfield Town, because they went and played wheelchair soccer at Fountaindale School for the Handicapped earlier in the week, something that Notts Cricketers did in 81, and of course they went on to win the championship. So let's hope that is a good omen for Mansfield Town. They lead 1-0 at the moment through Kevin Kent, and looking the better team at the moment. Tony Lowry, what a game he's had. He just runs through players with the ball and hangs onto it, and always brought down, cynically brought down there by the number 10, Alan Walsh, top scorer for Bristol City. And the referee is going to take his name, is he? No, he's just having a... thought he was going to pull a pen out of his pocket then, but in actual fact he didn't. So it's going to be a free kick which will be taken by George Foster in the centre circle, just inside the Bristol City half. Pumps it in, goes for the head of Keith Castles. Keith Castles has jumped for so many balls in his time that it's worn away a patch on the top of his head. But that ball didn't find a Mansfield player. He tried to find Neil Watlaw, but he couldn't get to him. Bristol City coming forward now, pushing for the equaliser. But to be honest, they don't look like getting it at the moment, because Mansfield Town, would you say, Martin, looking by far the better of the two teams?
Looking the better, say, but only takes a second or two to get the goal. And that is typical as us, as we speak now here, that the Bristol City could go and get a couple of attacks going. But there's an awful long way to go yet, unfortunately.
Well, we better not talk about them getting an equaliser then. Brian Williams finding player, but Keith Castles showing his determination. He really does want to get a winner's medal this year. He was here a couple of years ago playing for Brentford, ended up losing that day. And Joe Jordan going down in the box, fell down sort of almost apologetically. And any time George Foster comes anywhere near Jordan, Jordan falls over at the moment. But it looks as though Stringfellow could be coming on for Neil Watmore. I don't know if Watmore's taken a knock or if it's going to be a tactical substitution. But Stringfellow certainly very fast, highly rated by Ian Greaves, but he thinks he's a bit of a young lad to put on possibly at the start, and he describes him as very frail. But he'd be a good lad to come on as a substitute. Bristol City, though, good running from Owen. He's had a shot. Possibly frustrated that some of his crosses haven't been connected with by his teammates, so he went all the way. This time Marshall attacking down the left-hand side. Bristol City looking dangerous just for the moment. And Watmore, the man who could be going on, chesting it back to Jason Danskin. Castles slipping his man. Now it's Castles. He's got two men on him, and one of them's pulling him down all the way. Terrible foul there by Brian Williams, the captain of Bristol City. He was wrestling him from behind. That was a sort of challenge that we'd be more likely to see down under at the moment in the Rugby World Cup. And rightly so, the referee going to talk to the captain of Bristol City. And now we're going to have the substitution. In fact, it is Neil Watmore's coming off, getting a good reception from the Mansfield Town fans. And on goes young Ian Stringfellow. What a moment for him, the youngster, to be coming on in a Wembley Cup final, just 18 years old. And of course, he scored for Mansfield Town in the first leg of the Northern final against Chester City. He scored a hat-trick for the reserves, which meant that Ian Greaves took a gamble and decided to throw him into that Northern final. And the reward, he got the first goal. Castle's getting the second, of course. He's on now for Watmore then, as the ball comes in, punched away by Keith Woff in the Bristol City goal. Bristol City now with the ball in their own half, attacking down the right-hand side. And Lowry going forward to try and get it, but it comes to Brian Williams, the man who's been spoken to by the referee. Gets the ball out to Marshall, about halfway into the Mansfield half, down the left-hand side. Marshall cutting inside. He's got Jordan in the middle, if he can find him. Jordan for once getting away from Foster. But the ball's gone behind. Jordan doing his usual bit of arguing with the referee, wanting a corner, but the ref having none of it. And Hitchcock gets the ball to Garner. So I think Mansfield, Martin, have weathered the storm a bit there.
Yeah, they have. Just one question I want to ask you. I hope this commentary's not going out to Bristol, otherwise if Jordan hears it, he'll have our lives. But I must admit, he's gesticulated for almost everything now that's come in there, and he was nowhere near that header, and I think he was claiming for a handball in actual fact, so I don't know how he got that mixed up.
So the score at the moment then, 1-0 to Mansfield Town. Keith Castles attacking down the right-hand side. He's got young Stringfellow in the middle if he can find him. And he loses the throw. So we're 22 minutes into the second half. Mansfield Town leading by a goal to nil. I hand you over to Andy Knowles.
I hope will be commentary on the final success story for Mansfield Town. But still some 22 and a half minutes to go for Mansfield Town. It's away to my right. The scoreboard says Bristol City nil, Mansfield Town 1. As Jason Danskin goes forward nicely to the edge of the box, feeds Castles. Castles with a cross. Stringfellow's there. Hits the bar. A perfect cross, a perfect header, but the ball crashing against the woodwork. And Danskin, the man who made that, Castles with the cross, and Stringfellow almost marking it with a goal. As City launching an attack down this left-hand side now, as Jordan on the ball. Jordan with the ball at his feet to Marshall on this left-hand touchline. Tries to go past Kevin Kent. The linesman's flag goes up, but play on, says the referee. And the ball coming all the way back to the centre circle. So Mansfield almost wrapping it up with that second goal from Stringfellow. But it's Newman in midfield for City. Finds Marshall on this left-hand side. He's got his skipper, Williams. Williams with a little ball inside, looking
for Walsh, but it was Mike Graham who got there first. And Keith Castle's tackling back puts that one out for a throw to Bristol City. Alan Walsh looks as though he might need a little bit of treatment. He's getting up rather gingerly. But no play on, says the referee. So Gary Marshall with the throw, level with the 18-yard box, away down to our left. Bristol City attacking towards the end, the tunnel end, where all their supporters are massed. They're the quiet ones at the moment. Away to my right, the yellow and blue banners are waving for Mansfield. They lead by a goal to nil. Kevin Kent, the goal scorer in 56 minutes, as the throw comes in from Marshall. Into the box, it's flicked onto the near post. But Kenworthy there, no mucking about from Tony Kenworthy. He puts it out for another throw to be taken by Marshall. It's going to be long again, high to the edge of the box where Foster meets it and thumps that header forward, back to the feet of Marshall. Marshall checks inside Castles, lays a long ball to the edge of the box where Owen comes to meet it. Owen across the face of the box, forced back by Lowry, back to Williams. Williams to the edge of the box where Foster and Jordan clash once again, and it's Danskin who lays that ball forward. No let up at the moment, but there is now, and perhaps a chance for us to dwell on that moment just a couple of minutes ago, Martin, when it looked as though Ian Stringfellow was going to wrap it all up for Mansfield.
Well, that was fairy tale stuff. His first touch, I'm sure he can't believe it himself. He's got in. There's a terrific run by Danskin, who's provided a wide ball, and when it's finally whooped in, there he was, Stringfellow, all on his own, 6 yards out. And I suppose first touch, you think, oh God, is it going to or not going to go in? Rockets off the bar, and Mansfield, I suppose, may rue that. I hope not.
And Alan Walsh, in fact, going off, he's been substituted. And Paul Fitzpatrick, the midfielder from Merseyside, formerly with Bolton, Tranmere, Liverpool and Preston, he comes on. He played in last year's final. And so the second substitution of the match, the first for Bristol City. Walsh, who top scorer for Bristol City with 21 goals, but not really been able to get into this game. He's been operating in a midfield capacity for City this afternoon. So it's a midfield man for a midfield man. Good work once again by Tony Lowry. Must be a strong contender at this stage for the Man of the Match award, along with perhaps Gordon Owen. But it's Ian Stringfellow trying to tussle for possession with David Moyes. Moyes, the big Scottish central defender, getting a long ball forward, but cut out well by Mark Kearney. Kearney checks inside, lays it wide to Paul Garner on that left-hand side. Kearney comes inside, finds Lowry. Lowry with a bit of time to look up. Decides to use Kearney once again. Kearney forward to Stringfellow. Back to Lowry, to Watmore. Mansfield keeping possession. Castles with the drive, and that one just past the outside of the post. A good drive from some fully 25 yards out. And that's the second time we've seen Keith Castles having a go from outside the area.
Yes, and why not? The Bristol City defenders backed off him, and he had the shot, he had the pop at goal, and it gives encouragement to defenders to know that there's something at the end of it anyway for themselves. But that was nice to see Mark Kearney there. Three or four times, instead of giving away the long ball or playing the long ball, he played it two or three times, played it out wide left and got it back again, played it infield, got it back again, and now his confidence is coming up. He's a very, very nice user of the ball. It's just that his range of passing has been out today.
So Mark Kearney, no doubt lifted by that goal from Kevin Kent, his 10th of the season. That's the goal that gives Mansfield the lead in this Freight Rover final. We're 27 and a half minutes into this second half as Paul Garner moves forward, midway into the City half of the field. Plays a 1-2 with Danskin, back to Danskin. Danskin with his socks around his ankles. Perhaps the turf, the lush surface, starting to make young Danskin feel it a little bit now as that pass goes astray and allows City to move forward through Gary Marshall on this left hand side. But Kevin Kent coming back just enough to put Marshall off, and in the end George Foster shepherding that ball all the way back to Kevin Hitchcock. And it has been very noticeable how much that goal has lifted Mansfield and affected Bristol City. Fitzpatrick, the substitute, laying that one wide to Llewellyn, finds Gordon Owen. Owen chips that ball forward, looking for Glenn Riley, but George Foster is there once again. Puts it only to the feet of Llewellyn, to Joe Jordan. Jordan now looking to conjure something up on the edge of the box. He goes down in a tussle with Tony Kenworthy, and Kenworthy being called over to experienced professionals there. And Joe Jordan winning a free kick.
certainly if Joe Jordan was playing as well with his feet and his head as he was with his mouth, Martin, I think he might have won this match already.
Yeah, but to be fair to him, this time that was actually a free kick here, and Kim Worthy's done very well to obstruct him, because had he broken through there, I know he was right onto his right foot, which is actually his wrong foot at the time, but there could have been danger. As it is, it's not over yet.
Danger certainly not over. Owen with the free kick, 2-3 yards outside the right of the Mansfield area. The cross comes in, looking for Moyes, and that one tipped over the bar by Kevin Hitchcock. Marvellous save by the young goalkeeper, excelling himself in front of his own London supporters. Kevin Hitchcock hasn't put a foot wrong this afternoon, and certainly doing excellently there from the Scottish central defender with that header. The corner then to Bristol City. Owen chipping this one to the near post. It's flicked on, and Hitchcock once again excelling himself. And Kevin Hitchcock, Martin, doing exceptionally well, particularly with that first header from Moyes.
Well, he looks like Pat Jennings. He's been absolutely superb. His handling has been immaculate. And, anybody here who's watching this or watching Mansfield for the first time have got to be impressed with three or four of their players. They've all been magnificent as far as I'm concerned, but the three or four have stood out. Foster at the back has been superb. Anything thrown in high, he's dealt with very, very commandingly. And the goalkeeper has been superb, as has Lowry.
So Mansfield starting to find their men with ease a little bit now, but far too much ease there as Kevin Kent tried to send Tony Lowry away down this right-hand side. Lowry just gone forward a little bit too soon and caught offside. So it's a free kick to Bristol City. 75 minutes gone on the watch. Some 15 minutes or so to full time if Mansfield Town are going to hang on or perhaps add to their lead. It's Jordan and Foster tussling for possession once again on the edge of the box. Ken Worthy with a little flick over his head, ball juggling by Kevin Kent, gets it down the byline, and in the end it goes out for a throw to Bristol City. The throw to be taken by the skipper, Brian Williams. Down the line finds Glyn Riley. Riley looking to come across goal, feeds his skipper. Williams high to the edge of the 6-yard box. Hitchcock is thwarted for that one. And in fact, as Owen sends the rebound in, the linesman and the referee had already ruled an infringement against Kevin Hitchcock. And certainly the way Kevin Hitchcock has been handling the ball, I think that's the only way they can stop Hitchcock getting to it at the moment.
I think that's right. I think there were the two of them actually pushed into him there, and there's no way he was going to drop it otherwise. But it was just to be very interesting, Andy, at the moment to think how Ian Greaves is feeling now. He's about 12 minutes away from his first ever cup final victory.
Ian Greaves sitting down there below me at this moment with Billy Dearden and John Jarman, all looking very calm at the moment, but I'm sure there's plenty of nail biting going on as Lowry lays that ball forward to Stringfellow. Stringfellow turns on his right foot, sends in a shot, but that one looked to take a deflection. It did. It wins a corner, but perhaps the youngster couldn't quite believe the space he'd got in front of goal at that moment on the edge of the area.
Yeah, actually, I thought he didn't do too badly at all. He's just thrown a leg at it, but his initial reaction was to control it and try and tick the player on, which I thought is excellent thinking from a youngster just coming on into Wembley. My word, he's had a sensational 20 minutes.
So Kevin Kent, the goal scorer for Mansfield, to take this corner on the far side, sends it high to the edge of the 6-yard box, where it's knocked out by McPhail. Foster's battling for possession. He knocks it forward, though, only though as far as his opposite skipper, Brian Williams, and George Foster's having to chase back down this byline as Paul Fitzpatrick goes on the run. Mike Graham looks as though he's lost his legs, and Kevin Hitchcock having to come right out of his area to clear high to the, right down, taken well by the Bristol City trainer, who thumps that one back into possession. And Kevin Hitchcock coming way out of his area to clear his lines there.
He's not only playing as a goalkeeper, he's playing as a sweeper now.
So it's going to be a throw to Bristol City to be taken by Brian Williams. Brian Williams looks for Riley. Riley almost sells Williams short as the cross comes in once again. Hitchcock with the punch out, and that goes as far as Stringfellow, and Danskin coming away with the ball, checks and sends it wide to this near side where Castles looks to send the ball forward. He's got Stringfellow going through. Stringfellow's on the edge of the box. A good timely tackle coming in from Gary Marshall. In fact, it was Andy Llewellyn coming across with the tackle, but the referee ruling that it was Stringfellow who got the final touch on that ball. But a good through ball, that almost opening the way for Mansfield for a second goal. Stringfellow certainly finding the openings in front of the Bristol City goal at the moment. Let's hope they don't rue
any of the misses as the action comes once again down to the Mansfield half of the field. Gary Marshall, number 8 on his back, but playing as a left winger, sends in the cross. It's Kearney who heads that one away, only though as far as Moyes. Moyes, the big central defender, he's starting to push forward a lot more as the cross comes in from Williams. Foster goes for that along with Joe Jordan, and in the end the ball going all the way behind to the photographers behind Kevin Hitchcock's goal for a goal kick. And George Foster down on his knees at the moment.
He's got back up again pretty quickly there, Andy. I think you could run him over with a truck and not hurt him. But to me, the difference between the second half and the first is the fact that now, with Mansfield having the added comfort of the goal, can now afford to shovel the ball forward, and Stringfellow's getting on to the end of almost everything there. So, and as Bristol City are stretched out at the minute trying to get an equaliser, there's more gaps appearing. So everything looking at this minute there, I say, quite rosy for Mansfield.
But still some 10 minutes to go in this to 90 minutes in this Freight Rover final. Bristol City 0, Mansfield Town 1, thanks to Kevin Kent's 56th minute goal. But a chance now for Joe Jordan, squares it to Riley, and Riley puts that one wide, and Mansfield Town are furious with each other. Joe Jordan, it looked as though he may have had a chance to level it. Glyn Riley, though, should really have done a heck of a lot better with that chance.
Yes, I think in actual fact it was Garner who attempted to tip over his head, and it was charged down by the big centre forward. And as Jordan makes his ground in, he pushes the ball square. He's done exactly the right thing, and a glorious chance missed there by Bristol City. So look at Mansfield's side there at the minute, and who's to say that they don't deserve it?
So Mansfield, who've reached this final the hard way with many of their games away. But at the moment, it's City moving forward down that right-hand side through Gordon Owen. But Paul Garner gets in a timely touch to that ball, puts it behind for a corner to Bristol City. Now, can Mansfield Town survive this final onslaught from City in the final 10 minutes? Gordon Owen it is with the corner. John McPhail's come up on the goal line. City sending every man jack forward as the cross comes in. It's Paul Garner who hooks that ball away over the byline on that far side. The throw to be taken midway into the Mansfield half of the field by Gordon Owen. And as the ball's played in by Marshall, it's Mansfield who come away through Kevin Kent on this near side. Kent, he's got Lowry steaming forward, he's got Castle steaming forward. The moment, Kent happy to hang on to the ball, he uses Lowry. Lowry with his socks down to Graham. Castles, plenty of running left in Castles. Castles still looking to score at Wembley as Lowry goes down, hits the deck as Fitzpatrick tackles him, but play on, says the referee. Lowry gets up, plays the ball forward, looking for Kent, but in the end played a little bit too ambitiously forward, and Keith Woff able to come and play a sweeper and take the ball back into his area. 36 and a half minutes gone in this second half. It's Mansfield 1, Bristol City 0 in the final of the Freight Rover Trophy, as Bristol City once again coming down this left-hand side through Marshall to Jordan. Jordan turns away from two Mansfield defenders, lays it wide for Marshall, but it was a bad ball from Joe Jordan. And in the end, it was Tony Kenworthy able to get that ball back to Kevin Hitchcock. Bristol City, of course, in their two games, as Stan was saying, a play against Mansfield this season, haven't scored. Let's hope it's not third time lucky for Bristol City. Mansfield Town 1, Bristol City 0. The kick comes forward from Hitchcock. Castles and McPhail in a bit of a flare up on the centre circle. And this all too unseemly. No call, no need for that sort of action. A little bit of frustration, I think, from John McPhail. And perhaps from Keith Castles as well. But it's not the sort of action we want to be seeing from two very seasoned professionals, as McPhail and Castles.
Yes, it's been out of context within the whole complex of the whole game itself, and I feel that the referee Gunners has handled that situation admirably.
As the free kick comes high into the Mansfield box, the linesman's flag is up on this near side for an infringement. So the pressure relieved for another moment or two as Mansfield win a free kick just inside their area. Down below us, Billy Dearden's holding up 10 fingers. Just 10 minutes to go, he says. Well, it's 38 minutes gone on my watch, but of course there is some injury time to play. Ian Greaves and John Jarman sitting back, trying to portray the impression of being ultra calm That, I'm sure, is far from the case down on that bench. Mike Graham thumps the ball over the halfway line. It's a high ball. It's knocked on by Mark Kearney, looking for Stringfellow. Stringfellow seemed to be held down by McPhail, but it's Mansfield still winning possession through Tony Lowry. Lowry wide to this near side to Kent, the goal scorer. Inside to Castles. Castles slowing the action down. Stringfellow has got a bit of space inside the area. He's unmarked, but it comes to Kent, to Lowry. Mansfield happy to keep possession at this moment, but that's not what they're doing from a poor ball by Castles. But Stringfellow picks up on the ball. He's got no support in the area. Finds Kent. Kent with the drive, and that one pushed out, and the ball knocked off the line by Andy Llewellyn as Mark Kearney, with time and space inside the 6-yard box. It looked all the way goal number two.
Well, it did, and Stringfellow's gotten the end of a thing in the very first place that he had no right to get in, and he's played a delightful little ball through to Kent. Kent has had a shot at goal, so it's ricocheted right across the box, and there was Kearney, and that's just, I suppose, unlucky. He's done the right thing. He's volleyed it, ciphered at the volley, and there, miraculously cleared off the line.
As Kent's corner comes in, looking for Kearney, it's headed out by Newman. And Bristol City come away with the ball through Gordon Owen down that right-hand side. Once again, he's got his socks around his ankles now as he swings a long ball forward, looking to search out the substitute, Paul Fitzpatrick. Mike Graham's got to win that ball. He does, and puts it over for a throw. Paul Fitzpatrick, though, with plenty of running left in his legs. He only recently came on as substitute. The throw to be taken by Gary Marshall. Marshall with the throw to the 6-yard box. It's knocked on, but Mansfield, a boot gets that one clear to Stringfellow. Stringfellow happy to hold on and lay the ball forward to Castles. Castles, he's onside. He's got two Bristol City players in front of him. Takes it past one Llewellyn. He's into the box now. He's touched to the white right, and he's pushed out of the action. And poor old Keith Castles, I think it's a little bit of tiredness coming in there. He thought he'd got half a chance, and perhaps if that sort of chance had come in the opening half rather than late on in the game, we might have seen Keith Castles with a goal to his credit there.
Yeah, I was amazed at his burst of speed in the first place, Andy, because he's picked it up again. A delightful through ball by Stringfellow, who's had a marvellous influence in the game since he's come on. And as I say, with Bristol City absolutely stretched now, Castles went round the player and then just overran it in the last moment.
Bristol City waiting to bring their second substitute on. That's Keith Curl, the central defender. So it'll be interesting. They're probably going to sling one of their central defenders forward in a last-ditch attempt in the final 5 minutes. But for the moment, for the time being, it's the as you were, as Kevin Kent trying to move forward, but stopped in his tracks by McPhail to Williams. Williams forward to Joe Jordan. Jordan wide to Williams. Williams pushing forward, uses Marshall on this left-hand side. Marshall is faced by Mike Graham, gets in the cross to the far post, and the ball dropping for Gordon Owen. The shot comes in, it's blocked by Foster, and the ball bouncing around for Glyn Riley. It's a goal for Bristol City. 41 minutes into this second half, and Mansfield Town can't believe it. Glyn Riley, it is. He scored twice in last year's final, and he's got the goal that's given Bristol City a chance of retaining the Freight Trophy. 4 minutes from time, it's Bristol City 1, Mansfield Town 1.
That's desperately bad luck in Mansfield, desperately bad luck. The ball's been knocked around the penalty box once or twice. Marshall has done exceptionally well to get the cross in the first place, but Mansfield just looking a wee bit tired and a little bit obviously dejected now, but tired, couldn't get the ball away, and the ball's finally broken, luckily, to Riley, who smashed it into the net. Now Mansfield, who've got it all to do now, I suppose the impetus is with Bristol, but if Mansfield have shown, can show the same characters that they've shown throughout the game, well, who knows.
So are we heading for extra time? It's Bristol City 1, Mansfield Town 1, and suddenly the Bristol City fans have come alight. We've seen Stringfellow with a header against the bar. We've seen Mark Kearney have one cleared off the line by Andy Llewellyn. And now it's all locked up at one apiece with 42 and a half minutes gone on this second half. Free kick to Mansfield Town. George Foster thumps it forward. And suddenly a whole new complexion put on this game. As Mansfield having to defend now as City come over the halfway line through Gary Marshall. Marshall cutting inside. He's got the ball on his right foot. Let's fire. And that one going wide off Kevin Hitchcock's goal. So, of course, Bristol City finally having scored against Mansfield Town this season.
And what a drastic time for Mansfield Town to concede that first goal against Bristol City this season. Glyn Riley, only his fifth goal of the season. Remember, he's only playing today because Trevor Morgan, the former Mansfield striker, is cup-tied. So Mansfield Town with everything to do once again. Riley, the goal scorer, he lays it back to Marshall. Marshall down the line looking for Joe Jordan. Jordan looked to foul Tony Kenworthy. Yes, he did, says the referee.
That was an amazing incident there, Andy, because the referee has given the free, but the linesman, who was closer to the incident, as we have play on in the first place.
It seemed to be right under the linesman's
absolutely,
nose.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Joe Jordan almost took his jersey completely off.
So as we move into the last minute of normal playing time, injury time to come, but it's all locked up now at one apiece. Mansfield Town, they were just 4 minutes away from taking the Freight Rover trophy off Bristol City, but now they've got to do it all over again. Paul Garner thumping that ball forward, looking for Castles inside the box. Castles wins possession. He's still got possession. Back to Kent. City are regrouping, the cross coming in, looking for Stringfellow, but it's knocked away by McPhail, and it's City coming forward over the halfway line through Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick, he's got Marshall to this left hand side. He uses Marshall now. Fitzpatrick, who's got plenty of running in his legs. Marshall cutting inside, gets to the edge of the box, sends in across to the far post. Jordan's header is there. It goes across the face of the goal. And that, I think, Martin, practically the first time that Joe Jordan's got a header in this match.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Andy. Wouldn't that have been a travesty if that ball had gone into the net? And second half performance, Mansfield, well, they just can't believe it. In the last 4 minutes here, that the game has turned completely around. So we keep saying it's an amazing game, this football, but it's, oh, and I suppose that Stringfellow's header against the bar will be weighing heavily in the Mansfield players' minds, but they've got to get it out of the system. It'll go now into extra time, hopefully, and Mansfield, if they can regroup and reform, I still think that they're to the taking. I mean, players like George Foster just do not deserve to be on the losing side.
And the referee, Alan Gunn, does blow the whistle for 90 minutes, so for the second successive final, we're going into extra time. Mansfield Town's players, George Foster calling them over, Ian Greaves coming out with one or two words of wisdom. And as Martin takes a breather, let's find out what Stan Searle, sitting alongside me, has got to say about it. Or Stan, 4 minutes away from glory.
Yes, I'm almost speechless, Andy, because I think on the second half performance, Mansfield certainly deserved to lift this trophy, but you've got to get the ball in the net. They've had two or three chances, and hit the bar, hit one off the one cleared off the line, and really, when you get chances like that in an occasion like this, you've certainly got to make things pay. But I think they can still do it. The only thing I hope is that at least one side wins in extra time and there are no penalties, because that really is a travesty. Of football, to lose a final on penalties. But Tony Lowry in particular, I think, had an excellent game. Kearney has looked far better in this second half than they did in the first. He's been going moving forward with more positiveness than he did in the first half, and certainly for a time Bristol really looked rattled, and quite frankly they could so easily have been 3-1 down at this stage. But that's how it goes. There's another half an hour to go, and now it's really, as far as I can see, the survival of the fittest, Andy.
Well, I don't think there can be too much question about Mansfield Town's fitness, although for third division players, we've said that this pitch can be totally sapping for first division players, never mind third division players, and for international players. And I think really, Martin, the travesty is that poor old Kevin Hitchcock has actually conceded a goal. He's played marvellously, hasn't he?
Well, he's an absolutely storming game, and he's done himself no disfavours at all. But I possibly disagree with Stan in the sense that Mansfield have deserved to definitely win the cup, as we've said before. And I honestly don't mind if they get to the 9th penalty out of 10. I don't mind, as long as they take the trophy back then, because they've deserved it. And I think the Bristol City lads must feel that Christmas has come early, because they in the last 10 minutes, not only were they totally bedraggled, but they had given it up. They'd definitely given it up there. They just actually can't believe they're going into extra time. And possibly there had Jordan's header been on target, they might even have been taking the trophy home. But I see Foster getting the men regulated, and I think Mansfield can still do it. They, as I said before, definitely deserve to, and why not?
Interesting, George Foster and Kevin Kent both going towards the supporters and saying, come on, cheer us through this final 30 minutes. Lift us, help us get through it. And that certainly is what Mansfield are hoping to do in this final 30 minutes. It looks as though Mansfield have brought on Gary Pollard. Yes, Gary Pollard is the man who's come on. And in fact, it's Jason Danskin who's come off. So Gary Pollard will be playing. And that means a slight alteration in the formation. Be interesting to see exactly what the formation is at the moment. With expected that Paul Garner will move into the midfield and Pollard, Kenworthy to fullback and Pollard in the centre of the defence. So that's the way it's looking now. We're all set for another 30 minutes of action to take us through the first 15 minutes at least. Back to the man who'd breathlessly gone down to join Steve James in the tunnel and has got back, I think, in record time, Jeremy Nicholas.
So don't know about survival of the fittest, Andy, but I've just run all the way from the press box right round the back of Wembley, emerged up the tunnel just in time to see Bristol City equalise, and I've just run all the way back up. So let's hope I survive the last 15 minutes. It looked like quite a few tired players out there. It's going to be Bristol City, Joe Jordan and Glyn Riley ready to kick off this second half. And they're underway in extra time in the 1987 Freight Rover Trophy final. Mansfield Town 1, Bristol City 1. And it's Mike Graham with the ball to Kevin Kent, but blocks. Graham pumps it forward again. Just Castles up front at the moment. Headed away by McPhail and the Bristol City defence. Getting the ball now. Still in the Bristol City half. Mansfield Town looking determined and not letting Bristol get the ball out of the defence at all. Gary Marshall now coming down this left-hand side, being waved forward by McPhail. So we've got Pollard in midfield now for Mansfield Town. And Kearney getting the ball back to Paul Garner. Finds Stringfellow with it, who lays it back, but Pollard wasn't up with him at all. Kearney goes in for a challenge there, but it's Bristol City attacking down this right-hand side through Alan Llewellyn. Gets the ball into the box, crosses it in. Hitchcock will have that. Driven across low, that ball was there by the Bristol City number nine, Glyn Riley. And Hitchcock had a superb game, didn't really deserve to let in a goal, but that's the way it's gone. Let's hope Mansfield don't get their heads down too much. The supporters went very quiet towards the end of the half once Bristol City had equalised, but with George Foster, Kevin Hitchcock, Keith Castles all conducting the orchestra, Mansfield fans singing again. And now it's Mike Graham picking the ball up in his own half. He goes over the halfway line, plays the ball to Stringfellow. He's got a lot of running in him. He's only 18 years old, and he hasn't been on the field as long as everyone else. Dribbling his way into the area, crosses it in for Castles. What could he do? He turns, shoots, Kenny Dalglish style, but too low along the ground. And the man with the green natty cap on, Keith Woff, just picking it up. Martin, then, we're into extra time. Any different sort of approach to extra time?
No, I don't think so. I think Mansfield have to adopt the same approach as they have done since the beginning of the second half proper. And I think that things will probably work out for them. I'm certainly hoping so. But no different approach. If they just can keep the legs going, I think that's their biggest fear, of just absolutely cracking up. But the players who have put the work in for them, then they'll see this 30 minutes as being no problem at all.
But it really must have knocked the wind out of their sails, because it looked like they were there and then the cup was virtually taken out of their hands.
Well, without a doubt, it's absolutely killed them. Psychologically, it's a big blow to try and get over. But I think Mansfield have shown a great deal of character in this game, and I don't see why another half hour's football should let them down. And as it turns out, the game will hinge on just a bad decision or something like that there happening. So if Mansfield can keep their heads, things will go for them.
Keith Castles attacking down the right-hand side now, cuts inside the box. Chips the goalkeeper, intelligent chip there from Keith Castles. Tried to chip the goal, he probably had the sun in his eyes despite that natty green and black cap, but it went wide and high of his right hand post. Mansfield Town, though, they've been behind in quite a few of their games en route to this final at Wembley, which started with draws with Halifax and Rotherham in their group games, then a win away at York, 2-1 win away at Bury, and then that win away up at Middlesbrough. Lots of away games for Mansfield Town. That penalty from Kearney after 75 minutes in that game up at Middlesbrough, really important for Mansfield Town. And then, of course, the two-legged final with Chester, and they went there with a two-goal lead and came back winning 2-1 on aggregate. But now it's Bristol City who come forward in extra time, the first few minutes of this first period of extra time. And Foster having the better of Joe Jordan, a very disgruntled-looking Joe Jordan, no running left him at all. As Foster converts defence into attack, finding Castles. Oh, and if only Lowry had had just a bit more running in him, he could have poked the ball out wide to Kevin Kent, who was free on the right-hand side. But Lowry's given his all today, and he's looking a bit tired as he runs back. But Bristol City attacking down the right-hand side. Graham jockeying off as the ball's pumped into the box. Jordan's free. One of the few times he's free of Foster, but he couldn't do anything with it. And the ball's kicked away to young Ian Stringfellow, who finds Lowry, who all of a sudden, going forward, has a bit of life in his old legs. He's got Kent free, screaming for it, waving his arms as though he was bringing an aeroplane into land. But Lowry's found him, pumps the ball across now to the number 11, Kearney, who's free, who curls it with the outside of his foot, possibly took a deflection through the way on McPhail, and the Bristol City goalie, Keith Woff, going down low to his left-hand side, clutching onto the ball just as well, because Keith Castles there was ready to pounce if the ball had got a deflection.
Yeah. At this stage of the game, tactics are out the window. I'm not a great believer in tactics anyway, but it's a matter of all Mansfield have to worry about is pick up the nearest Bristol City player, go to the ball and try and close players down, and in possession try and create something.
And Jordan finds Gordon Owen, who pumps across in, and Kevin Hitchcock controlling his box, as he's done so much on this sunny Sunday afternoon here in Wembley. So Hitchcock waiting for the Mansfield players to get up, pumping the ball upfield. Beautifully brought out of control there by Kearney, who's waiting for Castles to do something. He gives it to Stringfellow. Castles is up front. Lowry's in the middle. Gives it to Castles down this left-hand side. He was pushed in the back. Castles waiting for the free kick. He didn't get it, but he's got himself a throw. Midway in the Bristol City half down the left-hand side. Kearney gives it to Paul Garner. He's looked very dependable this afternoon as Garner. Castles turned inside his man, going for goal. But too many Bristol City players in the way in the end. Garner goes in, but Bristol City get the ball away. And Foster coming in hard on Riley. And Riley getting the better of that tussle, puts the ball down the right-hand side. Jordan plays it back inside to the number 9. Riley, who's in space. There's plenty more space now as defenders can't keep up with the attackers. Everyone looking a bit tired as Bristol City attack down the left-hand side. Looks like Gordon Owen out there. No, Gordon Owen's in the middle. It must be Marshall, I should imagine, who's out there pumping the ball in. Coming across, but headed away by Foster. He's tired old legs. Still mean he can jump up and give it to Lowry, who also is running with his head down, but always looking determined to get to the ball. Kearney gives it back to Lowry, who's in the centre circle. He's got Castles forward, he's got Stringfellow forward, he's got Kevin Kent right if he wants. He gives it back to Kearney down the left-hand side, played back into their own half to Garner. Castles on a run, is he? Yes, he's going down the left-hand side, but just a bit too far for him, and it's mopped up at the back by John McPhail to warm applause from the Bristol City fans. When I was on my little excursion down to the tunnel and what I hoped was going to be a chance to see the cup presented to George Foster, I bumped into quite a few Bristol City fans making their way out of the ground. But needless to say, as soon as they heard the big cheer go up, they all ran back in. And the ball back now to Kevin Hitchcock. And everyone taking a well-deserved rest. No one looks in too much of a hurry to get on with it. I think they're all pretty tired out there, but they've got about another 23 minutes to play, something like that, because we've had 7 minutes of this first period of extra time, and there will be a penalty shootout if it's not decided in these 30 minutes of extra time. Kearney doing well, finding Castles. He's got Stringfellow in the middle, and he's got a defender in front of him. He runs at the defender, gets round him, another one appears. Stringfellow's offside. Let's hope he can get back outside. Castles is through. Castles shoots, and McPhail blocked. And all of a sudden, the gap seemed to open up. There were three Bristol City players there. Stringfellow was offside, so Castles held onto the ball intelligently, went round the man, but he couldn't get his shot on target.
But that was a terrific run by Castles, an absolutely marvellous run, and they got the little bit of luck at the very end there, and he's had a shot, and had a shot not been charged down, it was probably goal bound.
So it's a corner to Mansfield Town, to be taken on the right-hand side from Kevin Kent. Pumps the ball across in, looking for Pollard's head, but missing. George Foster getting away from Riley. He's got Kent wide if he wants. He pumps the ball himself to Castles, who's free, who heads it just over the bar and slightly to the right of Woff in the Bristol City goal. And Castles looking dangerous there. Two goal attempts in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think that was a good chance. I really do. I think Castles, despite the fact it was an excellent header and he got plenty of power in, he'll be annoyed that he didn't hit the target. And it's very noticeable now that anything that is knocked in and around the penalty box, Bristol City looks so tired now that they're not getting back. And
You start hitting Stringfellow, you can tick players on, and Bristol City are not getting any cover at all, so all to play for.
Quite a few of the players now with their socks rolled down, shin guards discarded as they get hot out there and get on with the business of the game. Castles, in fact, has got one sock rolled down, revealing a bright red shin guard on his right leg. So Bristol City coming forward, playing the ball back in order to go forward. But Mansfield Town jockeying well, keeping position. And to Gordon Owen on a run if they can find him. But they switched the attack now to the left-hand side. Jordan away from Foster again. And I wonder if George Foster getting a bit tired. But if he is, I think Joe Jordan's even more tired. So Williams, in fact, with the shin guard in his hand there. He's just taken his off. Pumped in the box now. Curl gets a reminder from behind from a Stags defender. Shot on target. Oh, and a beautiful save there from Kevin Hitchcock. Diving low to his right-hand side. Because a shot there from Rob Newman of Bristol City, just from the edge of the box. A beautifully struck shot. And Hitchcock went down. Goalkeepers don't like those. Low and right to one side of them. And Hitchcock got down well and held onto the ball. He could have pushed it around for a corner, but he held onto it. And that was beautiful play. As Jordan beginning to get away from Foster more and more now, putting the ball out to the left-hand side to Curl. It's number 8 for Bristol City, Gary Marshall. He's looked very dangerous down that left-hand side with Owen attacking in a similar position down the right-hand side, but it's Owen going across to the left-hand side now to take this corner. Martin Bristol looking a bit dangerous at the moment.
Yeah, they are, but Mansfield defenders must have gleaned great confidence there from Hitchcock's handling of that potentially dangerous shot.
So the corner coming in from Owen. Up goes Pollard, tries to get it away. Castles helping out of the defence. Chest taking it down on his thigh and running away from defence. Stringfellow intelligently holding up. Kent puts his hand up on the right-hand side. And there's a ball that Kent could have run onto if he gave up a little bit early, Kevin Kent. I think he's done a lot of running down that right-hand side. But Bristol City coming forward again. And Owen putting it to Marshall. And Marshall says, I might have got it in the first 10 minutes when I had a lot of running left in me, but after 100 minutes of cup final football, there's no way I'm going to get that. Castle's decided it's time to get those socks right down and get rid of those bright red shin guards, which he's going to throw to Billy Dearden, who's come across to collect them. We've had 11 minutes of extra time, 15 minutes each way, and then a penalty shootout if there's no result. It's 1-1 at the moment. Mansfield Town denied the Freight Rover trophy after an equaliser just 4 minutes from the end of this final. So kick forward from Hitchcock. Lowry finding Stringfellow, knocks it back to Keanu. Stringfellow on a run, Castles to the left-hand side. Stringfellow's in the middle, and Kent's far wide as he's been for most of the afternoon. Finds Keanu. Stringfellow a little bit too close for him. Bit of an experience showing there, possibly not really running into space. Pollard's trying to go for a 1-2 with Stringfellow, but the youngster's misunderstanding what Pollard was trying to say there, and the ball going back to Keith Woff. So we've had 12 minutes now of extra time.
Plenty of tired legs out there now. I don't think the crowd are too worried about that at all. I think they appreciate the effort that the players have put in here, and might be a family day, but it certainly would be Mansfield's if they could clinch it here. But it's getting more and more like Stan's dread at penalty shootout.
Well, let's hope it doesn't go to that. It has been a family day. We saw lots of Bristol and Mansfield fans walking in almost arm in arm. They were certainly red and white and yellow and blue walking together to the stadium. A good day out, plenty of young children here. Good to see, good for the image of football. The ball pumped forward by Hitchcock then. Lowry, what a figure he's been in the midfield for Mansfield today, putting it out to Kent, who summons up his reserves to chase that ball. And it's a throw to Mansfield Town, about 15 yards inside the Bristol City half. Finding Stringfellow, he looks young and fit still. He's running inside. He's got Castles in the middle if he can find him, or he's got Keane wide. Stringfellow going all the way. He's inside the box, blocked though. And possibly he went on his own a bit too far there, because he had men free if he could have found them. But Stringfellow looking keen and eager, hitting the bar, of course, only minutes after coming on. But it's Bristol City coming forward now. And as I was saying, a real family day out here. Mansfield fans from all over the country have come to this game. They've had people from Australia and America coming as well. And quite a contingent have come up from Devon. Talking to Joe Eaton, he said they must have a lot of Mansfield supporters down there in Devon. But it's Bristol City attacking down the left-hand side, pumped in by Owen. Coming in, who can get onto this? Marshall gets it out. And the shot just going over the bar there. But failed, the number five, hitting it there for Bristol City and Hitchcock. I think he had it covered, content to watch that go just over his bar. So we're approaching the end of this first period of extra time, 13 minutes into this first period. And now the Mansfield fans getting a bit of a chant together, trying to get behind their team. The clapping is the Mansfield fans as Hitchcock gets the ball up. They're trying to cheer their team on to possibly get a goal that could give them the Freight Rover trophy for the first time in their history. But Bristol City hoping to become the first club to retain it going forward through Gordon Owen, their best player, I believe, in this game. He finds Jordan. Jordan tries to put it forward on a 1-2, but Owen was going inside. The ball went outside. He finds Foster. Very tired-looking George Foster. Hands on his hips, but he'll not give up. He'll keep running right till the end. Gets it back to Kevin Hitchcock. And the sun goes in for one of the few times this afternoon. Hitchcock's throw landing in the Bristol City half without bouncing. A good throw too. And Castles has gone down, possibly with cramp. And of course Mansfield Town played both their substitutes. Castle's looking in a bit of bother down there. What can he do? Stringfellow goes over, but the play still continuing. Stringfellow goes over now, grabs his boot and tries to rub some life into Castle's legs, and Paul Garner not going to pump the ball forward because of Castle's being down, playing it back to Hitchcock. Will Hitchcock kick for touch here to give Castle time to recover? No, they're just going to play on with it. Graham putting it out to the... And the whistle has gone for the end of the first period of extra time. Now, Billy Dearden's come on to attend to Keith Castles, but I think the referee wants them to change right round again.
Well, that is the ruling in actual fact. They have to swap immediately round, and they don't get any break at all. I think it's about 1 minute. But Castles looks as if he may not be participating much more in this game. That's very heavy-looking cramp. Very, very heavy-looking indeed.
So let's hope he can recover. Anyway... So, in fact, the Bristol City goalkeeper has just gone over to his bench. He's dropped his shorts, Chris Broad style, and he's put on a clean pair of red shorts. So I don't know if he's had a nervous first period of extra time, but he's changed his shorts. He comes on with a sparkling pair of red shiny shorts for the second half, and a nice little handbag as well, which no doubt he'll put in the back of the goal. Those funny little things that goalkeepers carry with. What, Martin, you've played in the game. What do goalkeepers keep in those little bags?
That's a very good question. I think other than about another 16 pairs of gloves, I think they're expecting monsoon-type weather, you know. So they've got monsoon-type gloves.
Well, we're just about ready for the start of the second period of extra time. I hand you back to Andy Knowles.
And Mansfield get this second period of extra time underway. 15 minutes to go. If it's still all square then it's that dreaded penalty shootout to decide the winners of the 1987 Freight Rover Trophy. Of course, it's a disaster if Mansfield don't win on penalties. If they do win on penalties, then it's the best thing since sliced bread. But it's, at the moment, it's Bristol City moving forward down that right-hand side through the shape of Glyn Riley, the goal scorer, 4 minutes from the end of normal time. Finds Gordon Owen. Owen on the edge of the box, looking to get it on his left foot. And that one driven across Kevin Hitchcock's goal. Hitchcock at full strength. Full stretch, but the ball always passing wide. And in fact, looking out on the pitch now, we heard Jeremy saying that one or two players discarding their shin guards. There seems to be the pitch absolutely littered with tie-ups, so wherever you look there's little strips of white on the pitch. But it's Kevin Hitchcock who's about to take the goal kick for Mansfield Town. Survival of the fittest is the way Stan Searle referred to it. And it's difficult to know which of these two sides has got the fittest legs at the moment. There's one heck of a load of tired players out there at the moment. It's Mike Graham with the throw, just down below us, just in front of the Royal Box. Plays it to Castles, finds Kent, but Castles once again on the ground. He really has run his heart out this afternoon. And a good ball from Newman sends the action wide to that right-hand side to Gordon Owen, the danger man for City. His cross comes in, but it's George Foster with a flying header. Clears his lines, and Owen happy to let that one run out for another throw. Midway into the Mansfield half of the field on that right-hand side. Mansfield kicking left to right as we look out from just above the Royal Box here at Wembley Stadium. The throw taken by Llewellyn. Played inside to Jordan on the edge of the box. Jordan plays it wide to Riley. Riley with a little chip ball forward. It's Foster who meets it. The ball bouncing around on the edge of the box. Kevin Kent got in there first. He put his head in bravely when Riley was trying to get his boot there first. But the action now going all the way to Keith Woff. in the City goal away to our right. And really, it's not just two sets of tired players out there. The fans also perhaps a wee bit tired. Not tired of watching the action, but certainly they're not too vociferous for either side at the moment. And really, I suppose it's the supporters, Martin, who can really lift a side through this final 15 minutes.
Very much so, Andy. As you mentioned beforehand, just at the end of normal time, saw George Foster going over to the Mansfield crowd for them to try and lift the players, knowing rightly that that's exactly what the players needed. But at this stage of the game, I think Mansfield supporters, considering they've been outnumbered, have done exceptionally well. And I'll break off here, there's an attack for Bristol.
It's Marshall on the left of the box trying to get across to the far post, but that one high over Kevin Hitchcock's goal, and the action averted once again, the danger averted. Kevin Hitchcock with a goal. Yes, the Mansfield fans can certainly feel extremely proud, not only of their side but also of their showing today, and let's hope they've got a little bit more to shout about in these final 12 minutes, and certainly after that 12 minutes let's hope it's they who are cheering George Foster going up to receive the Freight Rover trophy. But at the moment that's totally undecided, because away to my right the scoreboard still says Bristol City 1 Mansfield Town 1. Some 12 minutes remaining as Lowry plays that ball forward looking for Stringfellow. It's Stringfellow against Woff. Can he go past him? The keeper it is who does well, and really the youngster with a golden chance there of going round the keeper, but Keith Woff bringing all his experience to bear there and saving the day for Bristol City.
Yeah, he's a wee bit unlucky, Stringfellow. I thought it's just his first touch as he's going in, he's just angled it away from himself and has allowed the goalkeeper time enough to reposition himself and grab it off him.
Marshall, though, trying his luck on this left-hand side. He gets a deflection and wins a corner for Bristol City. The action flowing from one end to the other. And really, the fans here, 58,500 of them, certainly getting their money's worth in the sunshine this afternoon. Gordon Owen it is to take the corner over on that far right-hand side. He takes it to the near post. In fact, it's too near the near post. It goes into the side rigging. So another chance goes begging for Bristol City, a wasted opportunity, and certainly neither side can afford to waste things like corners at this stage.
No, you're absolutely right, Andy, but just thinking back now, there's about 10 minutes to go now to the end of the game, and I suppose Mansfield have got to be considering that, well, the sort of performance that Hitchcock has produced today, I mean he's not liable to concede too many penalties or let too many penalties go past him, so I suppose they're probably feeling a wee bit confident that with him in such inspiring form.
I think the only problem comes is whether their penalty takers can succeed against Keith Woff. At the moment, it's Gary Marshall once again who seems to be creating all the danger in these last few moments, as he sends another cross to the far post where it's Foster and Jordan once again. And in the end, a Mansfield boot happy to put that one out for another corner to Bristol City. And whereas the danger early on was coming down that right-hand side through Gordon Owen, in the latterly, it seemed to be the number 8, Gary Marshall, who's been creating one or two problems for Mansfield down this left-hand side. Owen it is with the corner. Pulls this one a little bit wider. Gary Pollard, the substitute on, he manages to get ahead to it and then a boot to it as Newman comes in with the cross. The cross comes in and Hitchcock claims that one. He's balked by Joe Jordan. Gets a clip round the ear from Kevin Hitchcock. And Hitchcock immediately bowls the ball out to George Foster. George Foster playing in a right-back position at the moment. Inside to Tony Lowry. Lowry slings a long ball forward looking for Castles, but that one over Castles' head, and he hasn't got the legs to chase, allowing Andy Llewellyn to come away with the ball down that right-hand side. Llewellyn forward over the halfway line to Jordan. Jordan inside to substitute Curl. Curl looking to play it wide to this left-hand side, perfectly into the path of Gary Marshall. City looking to stretch Mansfield at the back, exactly as when they scored that goal 4 minutes from time. Marshall with a poor cross, though. He goes down with cramp, allowing Tony Lowry to come away with the ball. Marshall's down on the field. Lowry lays a long ball forward looking for Kevin Kent, but tiredness really the key factor now. We've got number 8 Gary Marshall lying on the deck away to our left. Gordon Owen has just been rubbing his legs. Andy Llewellyn also looking none too happy at the moment. Brian Williams doing a few stretching exercises. In fact, Gary Marshall just limping off the pitch for treatment. But remember, Bristol City do have another ace up their sleeves, because Paul Fitzpatrick, their number 12 down below, is the red-haired midfielder. He's still waiting to get into the action. so they could bring a rather fitter substitute on if they wanted to. It's City attacking down that right-hand side. Long ball downfield by Llewellyn. Headed forward by Foster, though. Garner goes to meet it with Newman, and it's Newman who comes out the stronger as Garner stays on the deck looking at cramp. The action, though, now with City. It's Joe Jordan in an outside right position. Inside to Gordon Owen. Owen's on his left foot with the drive. And Hitchcock looked to be going a little bit late down on that one. But he does dive and safely keep that one out. Looked as though he'd misjudged his angles just a little, just a wee bit there. And now Paul Fitzpatrick is going on in place of Gary Marshall. As the action coming to the other end of the field. All a little bit scrappy, and I think perhaps a mistake could be the undoing of either side at this stage.
Yes, when I mentioned earlier about Keith Cassell's making no more participation in the game, I really meant positive participation, because I realised that Mansfield had used the both subs. But there again, I break off
because Joe Jordan gets past one tackle, feeds Riley inside the box. He's got Curl on the edge of the box now. Curl in out inside left position. He's being forced wide by Gary Pollard. Manages to curl that one in, just like his name. But in the end, it's George Foster who heads that one out, only though as far as Rob Newman. Midway into the Mansfield half of the field, he chips the ball forward. Hitchcock comes out and lays claim. And Hitchcock really an inspiration to the rest of the Mansfield side. Martin.
Yes, as Hitchcock grabbed that ball and looked for someone to throw it to, all the Mansfield players turned away from him. And I understand that completely, because none of them really want the ball at this stage of the game. And I suppose if Mansfield do have a match winner, it certainly would be on little Stringfellow's possibilities, anyway, of grabbing something, because he looks pretty quick, he looks agile, and as I say, with Bristol City stretched at the back and stretched all over the place, I suppose then Stringfellow, if he could latch onto something, may actually still be the match winner.
So it's Mansfield down that left-hand side through Castles, but he's easily tackled out of it by John McPhail. McPhail ploughing forward towards the halfway line, lays it wide to the right where Gordon Owen's ready to receive. He's got a man going on the overlap, but instead opts to use John McPhail inside him. McPhail forward to Glyn Riley. Riley is being pushed out by George Foster, and Foster just doing enough to put him off his pass, and Paul Garner able to lay a ball forward for Keith Castles. He's got Stringfellow free inside the box. Castles on his left foot, lets fly with a drive. It hits a defender and drops loose to Stringfellow on the edge of the box. Stringfellow looking for Castles. Castles with a header. It's blocked by Keith Woff. And Kevin Kent almost getting in on the end of it. Castles holds his head, not because he's missed the chance or a chance goes begging, but because he got a thump on the head from the keeper, and he's out of the action at the moment behind the goal. Mark Kearney laying it forward for Tony Lowry. How fitting it would be for Tony Lowry if he could get the goal that won this cup, because Lowry really has been an instrumental factor for Mansfield Town throughout. And in fact, Bristol City finally deciding to send on Paul Fitzpatrick. Gary Marshall looks in no way to do anything down this left-hand touchline. He's laying there with two, with the physio and trainer both rubbing his legs. He really is cramped up totally. The referee calls for a drop ball just outside the Bristol City penalty area. Gary Pollard and Keith Curl fighting for possession. It drops for Mark Kearney. He's got Gary Pollard outside him. Opts to use Paul Garner. Drops it back to Garner. Back to Kearney. Kearney midway into the City half of the field. Bad ball though by Kearney. It's seized upon by Newman. And in the end it comes wide to Owen on this left-hand side. Owen and Riley tussling for possession. And in the end, George Foster conceding a free kick for a foul on Riley, as the ball moved quickly to Fitzpatrick down that right-hand side. He's the fittest man on the pitch, having just come into the action. Fitzpatrick lays the ball to the edge of the box. He finds Curl, and Kenworthy happy to lay that ball any way he was facing. Kevin Kent having to pick up on the ball, and Kent doing well to get the ball back to Kevin Hitchcock. 11 and a half minutes gone in this second period of extra time. Are we going to penalty shootout to decide the Freight Rover Trophy? Really, it does seem a rather drastic way of deciding the outcome of a competition. But if Mansfield will win, then perhaps we won't be bemoaning the fact. It just depends whether they've got the strength to hit the ball from the penalty spot as well, as Fitzpatrick it is who moves forward over the halfway line. Fitzpatrick forward tries to find Jordan, but it's cut out well by Garner. Garner forward to Castles. Castles looks to let it run past McPhail, but McPhail wins that and also wins a free kick as Castles trips the former Sheffield United defender. One or two ex-Sheffield United players on either side this afternoon. Paul Garner and Tony Kenworthy, former teammates of Keith Woff, and John McPhail. And also sitting down on the bench for Bristol City, Steve Neville, who's missed this final because of a broken leg. All former Sheffield United teammates. As the free kick comes to the edge of the box, the Mansfield box, it's Riley laying it wide to Fitzpatrick. The cross coming over for Curl, but it's Pollard who heads that one out as far as Lowry, and it drops to Kevin Kent on this right-hand side. Kent tells Stringfellow to move forward. He's got Mike Graham going on the overlap outside him. He receives now. Stringfellow's forward, Castles is forward. Kent's receiving from the pass forward from Graham, but in the end it's Bristol City hustling and bustling and winning possession. And Fitzpatrick and Curl, the two substitutes, combining over the halfway line now for City. Just 2 minutes remaining as Owen lays a long ball down the line. Now a chance for Bristol City, it's Keith Curl, but good goalkeeping, that excellent goalkeeping by Kevin Hitchcock. He had to spread himself, his body outside the area, but somehow managed to keep his hands on the ball inside the area. Incredible goalkeeping.
That was top drawer stuff then, and that's absolutely magnificent. Well, he can be really proud of himself today. He's had a storming game. Storming. His handling has been, well, exquisite.
If anybody deserves to win a penalty shootout, then surely it's Kevin Hitchcock. But it's Mansfield looking to move forward and perhaps end it without those penalties. The ball in from the right, seized upon by Paul Garner in inside left position now. Finds Stringfellow. Stringfellow with a chance. It's blocked by Woff. Drops to Tony Lowry. Lowry with a first-time shot. Finds Castles. Can Castles do it? Can Kent do it? It's off the line by McPhail. And everybody was throwing a boot in at that one. And the ball just wouldn't go in.
Well, I'll give Woff credit there. He just came out like a lion there, but that was very, very close indeed again. Young Stringfellow had an amazing sort of game. He's definitely had a good influence in the match, but he could have come away at the end of extra time having scored two or three goals.
Well, it's breathless stuff as we move into the final 30 seconds, give or take a little bit of injury time, and it looks as though the Freight Rover Trophy final is going to be decided on who is the fittest and ablest from the penalty spot. Keith Woff with a long kick downfield, midway, just drops inside the Mansfield half of the field. George Foster heads that one forward. Be interesting to see who are the five men who step forward to take the penalties. It's Williams with a throw down the line. Jordan heads it forward, and the ball dropping forward for Stringfellow. Stringfellow, has he got one last chance now? Tries to lay it inside for Lowry, but runs into his opposition, number 12, Paul Fitzpatrick, and it's Bristol City who are launching another attack as we move into injury time, and the referee blows his whistle after 120 minutes. It's Bristol City 1, Mansfield Town 1, and it's all down to penalties. And I don't know about you, Martin, but would you fancy taking a penalty in this situation?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I remember playing for Manchester City once and...
The Duke? Are you crazy? Nobody gets to meet the Duke. You meet him once and then you're dead.
When you've been substituted, you're not allowed to take a penalty. It was delightful. Manchester City eventually won 10-9 in penalties. I think Joe Corrigan took one. But today, very important competition here, and honestly, I wouldn't like to be in any one of their shoes.
I think at this stage, we should also pay credit to both teams for providing us with a tremendous 120 minutes, really.
I think that's right. I think after the first 45 minutes, I was inclined to think it wasn't much of a spectacle. Not saying not much of a spectacle in the sense that from an outside viewpoint, perhaps we weren't used to the excitement of the previous week. But certainly from 45 minutes onwards, it has proved a worthwhile occasion. And it's, I think it's a credit to everyone, a credit to those players down in the field and certainly to the supporters who have been here today. I think it's been excellent.
Well, Stan, I don't think you'd fancy taking a penalty in this situation. I shouldn't think there's too many of the Mansfield lads with cool heads at the moment.
Well, I'd hate to tell you what Ian Greaves' opinion is of his penalty takers. We've not been very fortunate, although Mark Kearney has converted the last four he's taken. But penalties have always seemed to be a bit of a hoodoo at Mansfield Town. I remember when we got into the second division, Pat Sharkey missed five in a row and everyone cost Mansfield Town a point. In fact, they could have completed the double over Tottenham had the penalties been converted. And of course, those 5 points would have kept the Stags in Division 2, and who knows, with just a season behind them, they might have consolidated that senior placing. But no, this is not a penalty situation I would like. I wouldn't like it on an ordinary football ground, never mind Wembley. But, well, I don't know. It's are you going to be fit enough to take penalties? That's all I can say.
Well, it looks as though the unlucky five, if that's the way we're going to talk about them, are Kevin Kent, Ian Stringfellow, Keith Castles, Mark Kearney, are the four inside the centre circle at the moment. And presumably it's got to be George Foster, the onus, perhaps the fifth penalty on George. Stan cringes a little at the prospect. I know George doesn't even like to watch them. In fact, no, it looks as though it's going to be Gary Pollard who's going to be the fifth of the penalty takers. Kevin Hitchcock, he's had a tremendous game. Can he just sustain it for a wee bit longer? Do I detect a smile on Ian Greaves' face down there? And really, this is going to be one heck of a task now for Mansfield Town. George Foster's going over, shouting to his lads, best of luck, lads. Stan Searle next to me says, don't forget Wigan. I've tried to ignore that fact. I remember that only too well when Wigan won through to the final 2 years ago at Mansfield on a penalty shootout. That was 2 years ago. Mansfield weren't in the final then. They're in the final this time. Keith Woff and Kevin Hitchcock shake hands. And now it's all down to the penalties. The men stepping forward for Bristol City, John McPhail, Keith Curl, Gordon Owen, Brian Williams. It looks like the skipper is going to take the first penalty, and Rob Newman. So Brian Williams it is for City against Kevin Hitchcock. Hitchcock, in fact, is nowhere near the goal at the moment. He's going over to talk to the fans, and the linesman saying, do you mind if you could come and perhaps take part in this event, otherwise Brian Williams might find it a wee bit easier than if you're standing there in goal. But Kevin Hitchcock, perhaps a little bit of psychology coming in from Kevin Hitchcock at the moment, waiting Williams, making him wait a bit.
I don't doubt that, Andy. The longer you can wait, the more time that the penalty taker has to think about it, and he's taking a long, long time to get to the to the halfway line, or to the middle of the goal, I should say.
Well, it's interesting that all the penalties are going to be taken at the goal, behind which are the massed ranks of Mansfield Town fans. Kevin Hitchcock holds his hands up to touch the crossbar. It's Brian Williams, regular penalty taker for Bristol City. And it's Williams' left foot against Kevin Hitchcock. City with the psychological advantage of going first. Williams against Hitchcock, and 1-0 it is to City. Hitchcock dives to his right. Hitchcock beaten as it goes into the left-hand corner. 1-0 then to City. Mark Kearney, the regular penalty taker for Mansfield, he's the man who's going to be taking the penalty, the first one for Mansfield Town. As the Bristol City fans, you can hear away to our left, trying to put Mark Kearney off. Kearney against Woff. Really, it is nerve-wracking up here, never mind down there. Kearney, and Kearney scores, 1-1. Both goalkeepers having gone to their left and beaten to their right. One then, as Rob Newman steps up for Bristol City. And it's interesting that all the ball boys are gathered behind the goal, and half the ball boys have been provided by the Bristol schools and half of them by the Mansfield schools, and the arms went up in delight then, and you could pick out which were the Mansfield school boys. Let's hope it's the Mansfield schoolboys who are signalling their delight in a moment, as Rob Newman turns round, takes on Kevin Hitchcock, hits the ball now and thumps that one past Hitchcock. 2-1 it is, as Keith Castles steps forward. Now, Keith Castles, we've seen his tired legs throughout that extra time period. I wonder whether he's got the energy, the strength and the foresight to be able to put this penalty past Keith Wharf. He's looking confident, let's hope he feels confident. He steps back two or three paces, takes it now, and Wharf saves! Diving away to his left-hand side. So the advantage very definitely with Bristol City. That was a tired penalty kick by Keith Castles. So this time it's John McPhail. Can he fail? McPhail stepping up. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Mansfield Town's so close to glory, 4 minutes away. Surely they're not going to have the Freight Rover trophy whipped from under them now. McPhail it is. Hitchcock, he's done so well. Can he keep out this drive from McPhail? McPhail now, and McPhail scores. Well, Ian Greaves, I don't know what's going through his mind at the moment, but it must be heartache. As Ian Stringfellow, what an onus on the youngster. Stringfellow to try and make it 3-2, 3-2 on penalties. Stringfellow, he'll no doubt be reflecting on that header that came down from the crossbar. Stringfellow against Wharf, and Stringfellow scores. So 3-2 it is to Bristol City on penalties, as Keith Curl comes forward to take the fourth penalty for Bristol City. At the moment, just one failure, that by Keith Castles, and how sad it would be if Keith Castles, who's fought so hard in this match, if it's his ultimately his penalty miss that denies Mansfield the Freight Rover trophy. Keith Curl, number 14 for Bristol City, turns away from the ball, runs in now, faces Hitchcock, and Hitchcock gets a hand to it, but he can't stop it going in. And surely it's looking like curtains for Mansfield.
Oh, that was very, very close. He's got the... honestly, just another couple of inches and he's tipped it over the bar. But what can you say?
Gary Pollard then looking to do what the Bristol City substitute's just done. And that score, Pollard, who came on at the start of the second half for Jason Danskin. Pollard against Wharf. And Pollard scores into the corner. Now, Gordon Owen, he's had such a tremendous game down that right-hand side for Bristol City. And I think if you're a betting man, Martin, I know you enjoy the odd flutter, you've got to put your money on Owen sealing it with this kick.
Well, I'm not terribly sure. Not sure at all. You know, it's... while there's life, there's a bit of hope, I suppose. Can he miss it?
The next few seconds will tell. Perhaps this is when Kevin Hitchcock is going to pull out the stops. Then, of course, we've just got to rely on Mansfield scoring a penalty, but simply, if Owen scores, Bristol City win the Freight Rover. It's Owen against Hitchcock, and Hitchcock saved it! He stretched out his leg, he does a cartwheel of delight, and he saved it. They're going bonkers down on the bench down here, but it's Kevin Kent who's got to wrap it up at four apiece. It's not all over yet. Kevin Kent, the man whose goal looked to have won the Thwaite Rover Trophy for Mansfield with his goal in 56th minute. Kevin Hitchcock, in fact, just showing the fans that it was the instep of his boot that kept that one out. It doesn't matter. It kept it out. Kevin Kent to try and lock it up at four penalties apiece. Can he do it? Players I know can't look. Kevin Kent against Woff, and he scored! 4-4, tremendous stuff. And now it's sudden death. Kent goes over to shake arms and to give a little hug to Kevin Hitchcock. Now, who's going to step forward? Because it's sudden death now. Bristol City having to send a man forward.
That was a lovely little moment there. The goal scorer in the game, in the actual game, congratulating the goal saver. That's terrific stuff. And Hitchcock's instep, well, has it won the trophy for them?
Now, long inquest going on down on the pitch. Who's going to take these penalties? I think they're drawing straws at the moment, Martin.
Tell you, I'm delighted we're up here. Couldn't take that.
I don't know about you, Martin, but my hands are starting to tingle already.
Yeah. That's a lovely feeling there to see Hitchcock and the crowd go mad behind him. It's fantastic as the ball ricocheted up and over the bar.
The joy and the despair. There's Gordon Owen just coming down to the bench below as one or two people putting an arm round him. They know that it could have been him.
Yeah, but having said that, had he scored, wouldn't you not have felt really, really sorry for Keith Cassells, who's the only one who might have missed a penalty in the game, and he's done everything in his power to wrest that cup from Mansfield.
So it's the rest are being thrown forward. The public address system saying that it's going to be sudden death. 5-5, it says on the scoreboard away to our right. Well, that of course takes in the two goals scored in the 120 minutes, and it's going to be David Moyes who's stepping forward to try and give the advantage to Bristol City once again. All the time now Mansfield Town are having to fight back, which is rather sad really. Now Moyes, can Hitchcock's instep do this one as well? Moyes comes up, the central defender, and he's kept that one out! It was his left boot that time, and Hitchcock does a dance of delight. It was his right boot that kept out Owen's shot. Now it's his left boot, he points to the instep. He can't believe it. But still, it's not over. Tony Kenworthy is the man who could write his name into the history books for Mansfield Town. And as Stan tells me, Kenworthy not unaccustomed to taking penalties. He used to be Sheffield United's penalty taker. Now, I wonder whether Keith Woff remembers that and remembers which side he puts them. It's the two former Bramall Lane teammates. I can hardly bear to look myself. I don't know about the rest of the side. Kenworthy, left-footed against Woff. Kenworthy.
Yes!
Mansfield Town have won the Thwaite Rover Trophy. The players go wild. Kevin Kent and the players away to my right. They're delirious. Martin O'Neill, I've just about lost my voice.
Well, these are fantastic scenes. I've been here a couple of years with Nottingham Forest and I thought I'd never seen scenes like these from local football sides. But this is, it's fantastic for Mansfield. Absolutely brilliant. And nobody deserves the acclaim more than Kevin Hitchcock, who's had an absolutely sensational game.
Oh, the marvellous scenes. And look at the little mascot running out there to congratulate them as well. Is it the mascot or Mickey Ginn stayed on from last week? Oh, marvellous scenes. George Foster thumps the air in delight, and also I think Martin relief, because I don't think he fancied taking
the penalty. Oh, I don't think so. I think it's been going down to 8 each. I saw him go for the boots and take the boots off. You know, he said, not for me. I thought Ian Greaves was putting the boots on, but that's fantastic, and it's great for him as well. I mean, I don't like to talk as a manager or any sort of in a sense like that there, and I'm all for the players, but Greaves, he must shed the odd tear there, because it's been a marvellous time for him here at Mansfield. Got promotion, and now he's savouring every minute of this here. Fantastic.
I think it's the freedom of the town as well, not only to Ian Greaves, but perhaps Tony Kenworthy as well.
Very much so, very much so. Fantastic. Terrific effort by Mansfield, and they deserved it in 90 minutes, and they certainly deserve it now. Great stuff.
Well, let's if he's recovered from rather emotional scenes at the end there. Stan Searle, I think this is the most choking moment for you.
Yes, indeed. I must admit, when we got to the penalty stage, I thought, well, the luck's running out at last, and it would really have been a travesty of justice, because the Stags really played well in that second half and didn't have the luck in front of goal. And I thought, has the luck finally run out? But, well, Kevin Hitchcock has proved in the past that he can save penalties, whether it's with arms, legs, bodies, you name it, or heads. But certainly that was a marvellous save when it looked as though the trophy was on its way back to Ashton Gate.
Well, the Bristol City side, as is the want in these matches, the losers go up first. I can't quite see the presentations, but I think down below on the pitch, waving to me at this moment, he can see them, Jeremy Nicholas.
Yes, thank you, Andy. The Bristol City players going up, led by Brian Williams. Terrific support from the Bristol City fans, giving them a warm hand, because real life and death there. No wonder they call it sudden death. What an ending. The Bristol City fans, just as the Mansfield fans did at the end of full-time, thought they had their name on that trophy for the second year running, but it all fell away from them, and they're giving their team warm support. And Brian Williams didn't stay up there very long at all. He's come down with his loser's medal. Plenty of handshakes going on, but Bristol City heads down as they walk disconsolately down the steps. Number 12 just getting his medal, a substitute Curl collecting his medal. Plenty of good performances for Bristol City today, particularly Owen, I thought, coming down, but now going up the steps, those 39 steps. Now, you may have heard John Motson on the cup final saying that it was Brian Kilcline who climbed the 39 steps to be the last player ever to receive a trophy at Wembley in a cup final. But of course it's not, because it's our lad himself, George Foster, who's going to be the last man to do it before the Royal Box is moved forward and the press box. Goodness knows what's happening to that. Up he goes then, Foster, to collect the Freight Rover trophy, only the third club in history ever to win it. Bristol City won it last year. I said the Bristol City fans were sporting, but they're whistling at the moment, but I'm sure there's going to be a terrific cheer. There it is! That's the moment when George Foster lifts up the Freight Rover trophy, yellow and blue banners waving about. Terrific support from Mansfield Town fans. They've come here in their numbers this afternoon. Foster holds it aloft in triumphant salute. Meanwhile, the Bristol City players going round on a lap of honour. They're clapping the Mansfield fans. And the Freight Rover trophy being passed along. It's in the hands now of Kevin Hitchcock. And if there's one player who's not going to drop it, he didn't put a foot wrong all afternoon. And I say feet because he saved that penalty with his feet. Holds it aloft. He's the real hero of the afternoon. And the Mansfield Town fans salute him. It's being passed along the line. They're all going it. They don't want to let go of it. Being passed right along now. And being held aloft by Pollard. What an experience for him coming on as substitute. He didn't make the team, but he played an important part in the game when he did come on, as George Foster now is going to walk down those steps. Hitchcock just coming down the steps. Everyone wants to shake hands with George Foster, and why not, as he had a marvellous game. Really kept Joe Jordan under control. But it's the second man down, the man in the grey jersey with two black bands on either arm, rather like those road safety things you get at school to stop you getting run over. Well, he's coming down, and everyone's shaking hands with him, and the Mansfield Town fans now coming down. Dan Skin being presented with his medal. And brilliant scenes here as the Mansfield Town fans salute their players as they're coming down. And someone has put an enormous great hat on George Foster's head. Makes him about 8 foot tall now. It's sort of pure yellow hoops. Whopping great big hat that he's put on. So often you get this at cup finals. Fans like to wrap scarves and hats around their heroes. Someone just passing something there to Mike Graham, all shaking hands with him as they come down, and the Bristol City fans cheering their team as they come round to the side opposite the press box to take the applause of their supporters. They must be very fed up. Bristol City players looking so much more tired than the Mansfield players. And the Mansfield players now coming down those steps, walking out onto the pitch. The man with a whopping great hat, George Foster, is being chatted to by members of the press now. They've got a Mansfield banner, someone's given them, waving them as they come onto the pitch, and all the players that didn't play any part of the game just wandering on to sample this atmosphere. And what marvellous scenes these are, as those yellow and blue banners wave and salute as the Mansfield Towns wave to their supporters. I think, Andy, you should be able to see them now in front of you.
Yes, indeed. Emotional scenes here. I was almost worried that they forgot to bring the trophy down with them. In fact, it's Kevin Kent, one of the last men down. He said to me beforehand he wanted to be the last out of the tunnel to be able to savour it all. Well, he's the last down the 39 steps as well. And what's more, he's got that trophy. Ian Greaves, it looks as though he's got the match ball. And no one could be more delighted. I think everyone in Mansfield must be delighted for Ian Greaves. He holds the trophy aloft. What tremendous success he's had for Mansfield Town. And I think at a moment like this, you tend to think of the success that people like Ian Greaves and people like Joe Eaton, 40 years as player and as secretary at Mansfield Town, lived and breathed the club. And certainly this is the moment that they've all been waiting for. And I think, I don't think you could ever dream about it. And I think we should certainly give a vote of thanks to the sponsors for making it all possible that a third division side can come to Wembley on a cup final in front of 58,500 people and win the trophy. High drama here, and very soon, well, it might take a little bit of a while for those Mansfield players to do their victory lap of honour, and when they do eventually arrive back down near the tunnel, Steve James and Jeremy will be grabbing hold of them, and no doubt a few more emotional scenes as well. But really, there's nothing like being a winner at Wembley, is there, Martin?
Yeah, absolutely. I've just watched the Bristol City lads go off, and that was how we felt when we played Wolves in the League Cup final of 1980. But we had a couple of victories before that there, so as you say yourself, Andy, there's nothing like the old taste of victory. It makes the journey home that much more better. Well, better, that's an understatement of the year. It's just sensational stuff. But I must admit, I see Cassell's now just going in to join the photographs, and he'll be mightily relieved there that his penalty miss hasn't cost them the chance of winning that trophy.
Well, I suppose we ought to be talking about men of the match. We've made a case out, obviously, for Kevin Hitchcock. We've also mentioned Tony Lowry in parts. Where would your vote be?
Well, I've got to say that Hitchcock eventually would have stolen it. Was stolen it because of his penalty saves, and he's had basically a hand in everything. But if you're talking
and
about
foot.
Yeah, but if you're talking about defensively, I thought Foster was absolutely magnificent, because he'll have come here with the odd palpitation. I suppose he thinks that maybe his lack of pace might let him down in a pitch like this. He's been never tested in that sense. Every single thing you can test it in there, he won. And Joe's just turned up for the game, and Foster has put him in his pocket all day, and this will be a moment he'll savour for the rest of his life. Fantastic. And I honestly thought, if you're talking about outfield players, he was out of this world.
Stan, what do you make on that? George Foster, says Martin O'Neill, Kevin Hitchcock perhaps stealing it deservedly at the end there as well. But